about.
Don't hang up on me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me? And I will! So just listen to me. Listen to what you do to me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Good morning, I'm Dan Rather, news veteran of 44 years, and now reduced to co-hosting this local morning chat show, just passing the time till I die. And I've stopped taking my heart medication, so any day now. With me, as always, is Tila Tequila.
What up, bitches?
I make out with girls. Can you handle it?
Thank you, Tila. Coming up later, hold on to your hubcaps. Stool Ben's only Mexican will be showing us how to make tacos.
I got a taco right here.
Gross.
And now...
I hate white people. All of them. Every last iota of a cracker, I hate it.
Our feature presentation.
That's not fair. There are a couple of white people that are good.
Really?
Lisa's nice.
Lisa's good.
I am nice.
Not according to that guy.
And I'm not white.
Yeah. That's right, I forgot.
Yeah.
What are you?
Black.
Everyone
oh,
thinks
I'm
Lisa's black.
She looked at me like
I'm light.
Right. Hey, we're taking your phone calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to get on the air with Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew, we will take your calls in a moment. We had somebody on the line there just a second ago who's going to give us a review of the big Kings of Leon show that everyone in the world must have gone to last night. If you follow the Twitter sphere last night, that's all people were talking about was how great Kings of Leon was. So if you want to call on back, I'd love to hear about that.
First of all, no one follows the Twitter sphere. And second of all, our producer Alex and Miss Cleo were both there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
everyone went to that show. Right?
They're in pain today. That's all I know.
Really?
Late night.
Oh, Kings of Leon. Oh, that was so good. But oh.
You guys used to be good back in the... Hey, folks who have listened to the Kevin and Bean show for some time know the greatest threat... Not just to democracy, not just to our way of life, but to the world, is what? What's the greatest threat in the world?
Breast reduction surgery?
Okay, that would be very, very near the top. But okay. No, Kevin, the answer we're looking for is monkeys.
Monkeys, sure.
We've been saying it for a long time that it's only a matter of time before the monkeys get the word from whoever their leader is, and they turn on us and they take it. They're taking it back, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Planet of the Apes is going to happen for real.
And it is real.
And we're too stupid to realize it. We have scientists trying to teach them to, you know, do sign language, and they're talking now, and I think they do math problems. I'm not sure.
Well, the Taliban in Afghanistan is training monkeys to shoot Americans with automatic weapons right now, according to British and Chinese media experts. In Waziristan, journalists have taken pictures of monkey soldiers holding AK-47s and Bren Light machine guns. The official People's Daily in China explains the emergence of monkey soldiers as just another facet of asymmetrical warfare. When they start training monkeys to shoot machine guns and teach them to shoot American soldiers, we've got trouble because there's lots of monkeys.
Can you imagine you're over there, you're a ranger, you're trained, you come up against a monkey with a gun, you go, oh man, this is funny.
Boom! What am I supposed to do with that? This is also weird, and Psycho Mike, maybe you watch the History Channel more than I do. People's Daily, again in China, also suggested the attack of the killer monkeys in Afghanistan is payback for Americans who first used monkey soldiers all the way back in Vietnam.
We used monkey soldiers in Vietnam?
You know anything about that?
Not in my platoon.
Did they try to force monkey soldiers in your platoon and you said no?
No, it was just red, white, and blue blood being spilt all over the jungle. I've heard of a lot of wacky. Vietnam was like the haven of wacky exploratory.
They tried everything.
Warfare, but I have never heard of that. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of monkey war.
How would we not have heard of that at all?
Well, but isn't it better? Because then if they have monkey soldiers and we can have monkey soldiers, then people don't die. Send the monkeys
good
out.
Good point.
Go fight each other, monkeys. Have at it.
I'd rather stick with remote-controlled machines, though. I mean, like, right. That seems like a much
better
option.
Yeah. Monkeys could turn on both sides.
Or themselves. You don't know. A monkey might shoot himself.
It's possible. But I would not trust them.
All right.
No,
so
I
you
agree.
Have, so
they're
so
not
you
trustworthy.
Have, you have a monkey force, and then you have drones overhead, keeping an eye on what's going on. You can watch real-time video. If one gets out of line, hellfire missile. That's how it works.
Seems like a lot of work.
I don't know.
And here's the PS, and then we'll go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Back in the 1920s, Russian dictator Joseph Stalin ordered his scientists to breed a half-ape, half-man super army that would be impervious to pain and not fussy about rations. I want a new invincible human being, insensitive to pain, resistant and indifferent about the quality of food they eat, Stalin was quoted as saying. The experiment ended in failure, as Stalin's top men could not cross apes and men.
Oh, that's too bad. That would have been great.
Nice effort, though.
Yeah.
So,
All right. Your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Anything on TV? Anything with your favorite sporting event? Anything that you want to talk about? We will take your calls, and then we'll put you on the air and give you a prize. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
What it do, nephew? We got a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt. In fact, we'll give you two. One for you and one for your monkey, just for being on it. 1-800-520-1067. And we'll start with Cleo is on line one. Hey, Cleo. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Listen to you.
Oh, this is our Miss Cleo.
Yes, it is.
This was an amazing show last night. Kings of Leon, Hollywood Bowl. This was my first time at the Bowl, too.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So,
did you learn the parking situation ahead of time before you went to the Bowl?
Actually, my friend and I tried to be smart and take a bus from Pasadena. Missed the bus, the last bus from Pasadena.
Uh-huh. Why am I not surprised?
7:45, booked it into the Bowl. And parked at Hollywood and Highland and took a bus.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So I avoided it. And we got a telephone number from one of the guys that works in the parking lot. He's like, anytime you need to park at the Bowl, you give me a call.
See? Yeah.
Now she's working the booth.
I've been to the Bowl so many times, no one's ever said that to me.
Nope.
He also let us pee on his bus for free because we really had to go to the restroom.
On the outside of it or anywhere?
No, the inside. Charter bus is like inside. Nice little bathroom.
Wow.
We got hooked up.
The shuttles are the way to go. Kevin hates the Bowl because of the parking, but refuses to take the shuttle. So that's part of the problem there.
Well, it was great. I didn't have to deal with parking at all.
Well, now you can take the Red Line.
Yeah, that is certainly
perfect.
Preferable.
To Hollywood Highland, then take it back to the valley or wherever you
Those
live.
Those of you that don't know the Hollywood Bowl parking situation, they do park you in a giant lot, and you have to wait until every car leaves before you can get out.
They rape you, too, while you're waiting.
I was waving to the people sitting in their cars as I was driving.
Oh,
I have waited a solid 2.5 hours in that lot before.
Right? Just sitting there. Who knows what the people are doing? The concert's been over for 2.5 hours.
They went off and started drinking somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
Okay, so was there any screen calls?
Okay.
Okay.
Wow, we heard all the way right up until she got her ticket torn, then never heard one word about Kings of Leon, which is really what I was interested in.
She loved it. She had a great time. It was fantastic. Let's talk to Micah. Hi, Micah.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, good. Micah. What'd it do?
Chilling. How are you guys doing? Baby Boo and the nephews and all those people.
Good.
All right.
I'm calling because basically they made a bat bomb. It was around World War II, and they basically attached these napalm devices to these bats, and these bats were flying to or were supposed to fly into the houses of the Japanese, and at a timed sequence, all the bats would catch on fire, and all the houses would burn down.
I don't know where you're getting your information, but I'm going to guarantee that's not true.
Well, no. See, they developed the bomb. They didn't use it because I think they used the big
one. How big a bomb can fit on a bat? First of all,
I'm thinking
maybe a firecracker.
No, you gotta look. You gotta Google it. Just like
how do you tell them where to go? How do they know which houses to fly into? What do I Google? Bat bombs?
Yeah, bat bomb. I thought it was on the History Channel, so
okay.
It's got to be relevant, right? Basically, it was a huge.
Okay, we got it. Thank you for the call, Mike. We appreciate that. Thanks very much. It's killing me. They have used animals for lots of different things. I mean, they use them. They send in. Don't they use dogs to send in with cameras to peep out places that they're trying to get into, looking for bombs and things like that?
They do, but I'd rather not hear you use the word "peep out."
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a very common expression for a couple of decades now.
In like past wars, like Vietnam, if they used mostly like German Shepherds, the dogs you would expect. In desert warfare, modern warfare, they're using all different kinds of dogs, like Jack Russells and stuff, to go in little holes and examine for bombs. It's really cool. Like, they're using all different breeds.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The monkeys are going to handle that. Monkeys are going to take care of those. All right, let's do one more real quick. Mike is on line four. He's calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike, thanks for holding on. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do?
What's going on?
Nothing much. I just, bad thing when you call your girlfriend, your ex-girlfriend's name.
Yeah.
Ouch. Ouch. So you said, so-and-so, this feels so good, and it was your ex, not your current?
No, not my current. Just the ex-girlfriend. And she's the fighting a rumpus. Call her that name.
Okay. What were you guys doing at the time when you got the name wrong?
Arguing.
I thought that's better than having sex and doing the same thing.
Hey, it made for good makeup sex.
So did she say, that happens, don't worry about it?
Not really. She really kind of just yelled at me, threw a punch, and then tried to run me over.
Tried to run you over.
Wow, someone buried the lead.
Tried to run you over.
Okay, look, storytelling 101, Mike. Here's how you begin. Here's how you hook people. Here's how you get their interest. My ex tried to run me over with her car. Boom! Everybody's in. Now we got to know why, how, where.
Exactly. You don't start with. Yeah, it was okay. It was pretty chill. Then we made up. Wait, made up from what? You know, the fight. What fight? I mean, you're forcing us to drag it out of you, Mike.
My bad.
So you got to start with the best part and the tease, and then go back and fill us in. All right.
All right.
I think we've all learned a little something today.
I like that he got almost run over and then had sex with her. Guys are amazing.
That is quite a thing.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You need a bat in the side of the head. All right. How about that?
Seems a little rough.
Man.
Mel Gibson allegedly.
Yeah.
Has lost it.
And no.
Yesterday we played some tape for you of him yelling at his ex-girlfriend. And that was Gandhi compared to the tape we have today.
Wow.
Wait till you hear Mel Gibson, Christian Bale, mashup.
There's officially nothing better on earth.
There's nothing better in the whole world. We may play nothing else today. We may have to cancel everything else on today's program and just put it on a loop.
Fantastic.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
But of the two, you got to go, all right, so Christian Bale lost it. He was on the set. He was working. He got really angry at somebody for doing something. Mel Gibson's a whole nother beast.
Yeah, way worse. Yeah.
He's lucky he hasn't killed yet.
Yeah. That we know of.
I mean, whoever's voice is on this tape that sounds exactly like Mel Gibson and was taped by Mel Gibson's ex-girlfriend, perhaps, sure threatens to kill on this tape.
Yeah. So we heard some of the tape yesterday.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
It was good. Thank you. And we have more today. And it's not, it's very disturbing, I'll be honest. We're going to introduce you to DJ 90210.
All right.
Our man Dewan, branching out, moving in a new direction. DJ Omar Khan teaching him how to DJ. And we have some video to show you.
I would hire him.
Tell you about so that you can watch. I would hire him as well. So that's coming up. We have a remix of the Rainbow Man as well.
Oh, this is the guy that saw the double rainbow?
There's no one higher, ever.
And the first interviews with the Rainbow Man,
yep,
in which he is asked the question, what were you on when you shot the double rainbow video? You'll be surprised by his answer.
Because he's lying?
You'll be surprised by his answer when you hear the tape.
I had some lemonade.
To hear what you
He's going to say, "I had lemonade. It was too sugary." We are also going to talk to. Do you remember Seinholder Nick?
Of course.
Yes. Oh, hi, Kevin and Bean.
Seinholder / screenwriter Nick.
I have a screenplay. Remember the party that we had him at? Yeah, that would be better if that were playing. We have some audio problems here.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like, mother Tupac.
That's him, yeah. He says, and take this however you want, that the water is back in the hose.
I think that's an expression meaning that his life is back on track.
I do, too. I hope.
He's happy and that things are good. because he had an amazing thing happen to him, which is that he met his all-time number one celebrity crush, actress Amber Heard, who you perhaps best know from Zombieland. And he loves her more than anything in the world. He actually met her, talked to her, and he's going to tell us a story today. And then we're going to be looking for your stories when you met your celebrity crush.
And does the idea of a sandwich in a can appeal to you?
Yes, it does.
Well, the Canwich is a new product, and you can get it, and then it's in a can, and then, you know, 5 years from now, when the big one hits and you need food.
That's what I just thought. It can go on my earthquake food shelf.
You open it up. There you go. You got yourself a PB&J.
Yeah.
Now,
sweet.
My question is the cap for the Canwich monkey-proof?
Oh,
because it would be awesome if it's food that you can get to, but the monkeys can't.
I don't know there's anything that's monkey-proof, dude.
Well, maybe you need an opposable thumb to open the can, though. I'm saying that would be ideal planning.
Yeah.
Because that way it's yours and not his.
Well, we'll look into that.
Yes.
I don't know that we have done the research on monkey-proof cans yet, but we thought it was just interesting enough that there's a sandwich in a can.
I'm a step ahead.
So much information.
All right. And we will continue to qualify you to see Muse at Austin City Limits in Texas.
Nice.
So that's coming up today as well. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Come on. You are listening to Mada Boom Boom Radio.
What
is it? The Accord.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 5 minutes till 6.
Ralph Garman joins us in our studio with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's going on, Ralph?
What happens when the dream becomes the nightmare?
Uh-oh.
That's what we're asking Christina Milian. She and her husband, the dream, are splitting up.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, they made it. They gave it a good run. They were married in September of last year.
All right.
You don't want to stay too long.
No.
Things are bad, you know?
Get bored.
Relationship gets all dusty and
sure.
Boring. Christina gave birth to their daughter Violet in March, and apparently the couple's been keeping the news of their split private in order to protect their baby daughter, because, you know, when she starts reading those tabloids, oh, wait a minute, she was born in March! Another person who is asking everyone to please be kind about his split is Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, really?
He is the opposite of Mel Gibson. He's the anti-Mel Gibson. Apparently it's sort of a contentious breakup, but he tweeted over the weekend, please don't say anything bad about Camille. It would just hurt the kids.
He sure gets divorced a lot.
He does. But then the good news is he gets married a lot.
Right.
See, that's the upside. The glass is half full, in my opinion.
Do you think at some point he's going to say, I'm not good at this?
Nope.
Okay.
Kelsey apparently, the rumor is he's been partying again, you know.
Uh-oh.
After years of sobriety.
Oh, really?
And he's discovered some new interesting female friends, and that may be one reason the relationship is not ending well. However, another camp says Camille made herself a friend who was a 20-something-year-old waiter.
Right.
And she was enjoying spending beyond what Kelsey was making. And that was the stress on the relationship that ended things.
How do you outspend what he's making?
So
that's what
money.
I thought. I thought he was really rich.
Yeah, well, she's really choppy.
Wow.
It sounds like it didn't help that he took that job in New York on Broadway, and she stayed back home in Los Angeles, too. There was quite a bit of distance to overcome as well.
Mm. Sometimes that can help things.
Yeah, maybe that made it last twice as
that's
long.
That's what I'm thinking. All right. We have to mobilize the troops. We have, to bring out the hammers of hell.
Oh, no. We haven't done that in a long time.
We have to bring out the hounds of heck, whatever else we have. We have to bring out the big guns, because our boy Hugh Hefner's in trouble. He's
what?
Being besieged, and we need to step up and help a brother out.
What's happening?
Is this just the Grim Reaper knocking on his door again?
No. F you. The Grim Reaper's going to get you before it gets to Hugh. I guarantee you that.
I'll take that bet.
Yeah? Well, I'll make my bet win. I'll make it work.
Are you going to put me in the Rose Garden?
I put you right in the Rose Garden. Don't think I don't have the energy to do it either. Apparently, Penthouse is trying to buy Playboy. They're trying to make an offer to the shareholders of Playboy Enterprises in order to do a hostile takeover and buy that magazine out from under Uncle Hef.
Okay.
Which is unacceptable.
That seems bad.
Because Penthouse is to Playboy what?
This is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
A ham sandwich is
yes.
to filet mignon. You know what I'm saying?
They're
both
yes.
food. But
right.
one has a certain, you know.
Panache.
Exactly, Kevin Panache.
Kevin. Ralph, would you, it's the word a day calendar. We got it for Christmas. I'm telling you, it's paid off. Would you ever want to own Playboy? I wouldn't.
What?
That is a dying
that's
business.
That's the gayest thing that anyone has ever said.
I'm just
ever.
Saying, that's, a, that's a magazine that has lost such a market share in recent years, thanks to our friend the internet, that I just, I think you'd be, there's a reason it got sold previously.
Wow.
Is he still there?
This may be silly, but I guess we have to ask it. Are you gay?
Look, I'm not saying I wouldn't want to work there. I'm saying I wouldn't want to own it and have to try to not lose every penny.
I'd be willing to give that a shot.
Well, while you're losing every penny, right. You get to see naked women every day.
Yeah. Hire me. I'll work there until the thing goes out of business.
The
sure.
Playboy trademark and merchandise is one of the highest valued brands in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting there to work, Bean. If you get there, it's because you own it. There's no hiring you at the Playboy Mansion.
Well, they might give us a park cars. So Hef now has decided he's going to buy back all the remaining shares of Playboy Enterprise. He's going to make it a private company again. He's going to take it back.
Is that
make
right?
It his.
That's good. Awesome.
But apparently there's going to be quite the battle because this CEO, Mark Bell, who runs FriendFinder.com, which is owned by Penthouse, says there will be a rival bid coming in coming days, and so the two will go head-to-head to see who comes out with the legendary
now
Bunny Ears logo, which has been called a billion-dollar brand by Forbes.
I don't understand how that works. He doesn't have the decision to just say no because it's a public company?
I do not believe. I believe he is the majority shareholder.
And can't he just say no thanks?
But anyone can sell anything. I mean, if you've got shares in Playboy, you can certainly sell it to Penthouse if you want to. And I guess with enough shares in hand, they could put some sort of stockholder pressure on the powers that be, the CEO of Playboy Enterprise. Well, I don't think Hef is anymore. I think Christy Hefner now runs the business. But
I wouldn't want to run that.
With a certain amount of cachet in terms of stock, I'm sure you could pressure Hef out of his own business, which it looks like is what they want to do. They want him out, and they want to take over completely.
That would be very sad. I'd rather there be a power grab after he's gone. Let the old man live it out, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. He's earned it.
That's what I was saying. And from winners to losers, John Gosselin is, when you're a loser, sometimes that's just what you are. That's it. That's your lot in life, and it just sticks with you, and you just live under that cloud for the rest of your life walking around.
Don't fight it. Just give in and move
he's
on.
He's a big loser.
Right.
Let me tell you how much of a loser he is. He's got a new girlfriend named Ellen Ross.
Okay.
First of all, this is not going to last. He's had a half a dozen girlfriends since he broke up with the shrew, right?
Yeah.
Well, he decides this is the one, and so he goes to a tattoo parlor.
Oh, good.
And he has
it's the kiss of death.
A significant piece of body art put on his back that includes his love Ellen's name in Korean.
Okay.
Well, recently, Life and Style magazine showed a photo of his brand new tattoo that he took and released, of course, because we all want to take a look at his new back tattoo.
Sure.
And it turns out a Korean person on the staff of Life and Style has pointed out that the spelling of Ellen in Korean actually spells out Aaron.
He spelled it wrong?
Yes, it's spelled wrong in Korean. The name in the piece of art is Aaron, a dude, not Ellen, a female.
Maybe he meant that.
Yeah. He had all eight of his children's names also spelled in Korean on his back. Those are all spelled correctly, luckily for him. However, Ellen slash Aaron is not too pleased by the fact
that
she's misrepresented on his back. I would really look into that. I would do a lot of research about what I was going to write on my back before I let somebody put ink and needle in hand.
It wouldn't take much to just look at
really double check, spell check, Korean spell check.
Find somebody who speaks.
Korea.
And say, what does this say?
What does this say? Just double check it for me.
Yeah, just once.
Is this Ellen or is it Aaron? Yeah.
Think before you ink.
It's Aaron. Oh, yeah, it's Aaron. See, maybe that's what the problem was.
saying Ellen.
Yeah, who knows. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Will Champion. Private Eye. Oh, no, actually, he's the drummer for Coldplay. He's 32 years old today. With a name like Will Champion.
Yeah, that's
pretty
strong.
It's a great name.
He should be in the Avengers.
DJ Fatboy Slim is 47 years old today. Jackass star Phil Margera, Bam's dad, is 53 years old today. Cameron Crowe, legendary writer-director, He is 53 as well. Cheech of Cheech and Chong celebrates his 64th birthday today. Patrick Stewart, legendary Captain Jean-Luc Picard of Star Trek, also Professor X in the X-Men films. He is 70 years old today. And Harrison Ford is 68.
68?
Newly married Harrison
Ford.
I'd say 88.
How dare you? That's Indiana Jones you're talking
about
right
there. He's grown old poorly.
Well,
looks much older than he
is. Look, if you were spending a lot of time in crypts trying to get archaeological digs back from the Nazis, you'd age quickly too, my friend. I'm Ralph Garman. Sure. I walk the show.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I wonder how long it'll be before we hear from Mel Gibson, before we get some sort of a statement. And the reason I bring that up is because, do you remember, maybe it's a different situation, maybe they're not comparable, but I was thinking about how badly Tiger Woods played his scandal after Thanksgiving, after he ended up with the golf club in his head.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then everybody speculated and everybody talked and everybody discussed and broke down the story for months before he ever said a word. And it seemed like it did irreparable damage to him. And in retrospect, it seems like he could have come out pretty early on and been honest and forthright and gone into rehab or whatever he needed to do. And the damage would have been minimalized. I keep waiting to hear from Mel, but there's no indication that that's ever going to happen.
I don't think, A, it'll help, and B, he cares.
Maybe that's the difference, because Tiger Woods needed to have some sort of a public image rehab because of his sponsors. You're right. Mel Gibson is an island. He has FU money. He doesn't ever need to do anything in public again, so maybe he doesn't care what we think.
But if he wants to work ever again as an actor, that all of a sudden now he does need an image rehab and all that. But yesterday we played a bunch of tape that was allegedly Mel Gibson yelling at Oksana.
Mm-hmm.
And today's tape is worse.
This is more of the same conversation.
We
don't know.
I think so, but I don't know. It's also allegedly Mel Gibson, as you know, there's no way we have to prove it, but you can make up your own mind.
When you hear a guy who sounds exactly like Mel Gibson.
He is – you rarely hear somebody completely come apart. Like yesterday was nothing. Compared to today.
Yesterday it seemed like an 8 at the time. Now we know that for Mel, it was a 4.
Yeah, and this is a 10.
Right.
So this is going to be quite disturbing, but it is allegedly Mel Gibson on the phone with his ex.
Don't hang up on me. I can. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me? And I will. So just listen to me. Listen to what you do to me.
I didn't do anything to you.
Pain in the ass.
See, it's all her fault, by the way. All.
Listen to what you do to me.
Yes.
Yeah. You are ruining my life.
You make my life so difficult.
Well, you know what?
It's be a woman that supports me instead of a woman that sucks off me. And just sucks me dry. And wants. Get out of this relationship if you're a good woman and you love me. I don't believe you anymore.
What did you say?
Get out of your bullshit.
He's got a point there.
Oh, my God.
He's got a
point.
By
the way, I love her voice, by the way.
Me too.
I think it's very sexy.
But
that Russian accent?
Yeah. Under different circumstances, you mean?
Under different circumstances, yes.
So he says you shouldn't be doing this if you love me,
right.
But I don't love you.
Correct.
And you should just smile and
here's what she should be doing.
You should just smile and me, because I deserve it.
I'm sleeping with a baby. I'm waking up every 2 hours. I fell asleep because I was waiting for you because you weren't ready to go to jacuzzi as we agreed.
We agreed nothing. You agreed. You just stuck.
I was just...
She has no soul. Is she a ginger?
She's a ginger.
She has no soul?
Hey, Mike, have you heard any talk of Mel Gibson in a reboot of American Psycho? Because he would be an amazing Patrick Bateman at this point.
Or the Hulk. They already gave Edward Norton, just gave Edward Norton the boot. Can you imagine him as Bruce Banner and he just starts freaking out, veins out of
perfect.
His neck?
Guys, I think those are movies and you want actors. I don't think you want the real thing in that role.
I didn't blame you for anything.
I was just waiting to sleep. I left my wife because we had no spiritual common ground. You and I have none. Zero. You won't even try.
All right, now here's an important part. Listen to this.
My God.
So I go in.
He puts his dog on the phone?
I go into Omar and I say, Omar, there's a part of the call where he's breathing heavy, like he's really panting, like he's way out of breath. I said, you really need to, you know, that might be the funniest part. You should double it or triple it, really make it outrageous. And he wrote back and said, it's too good on its own. I don't have to touch it.
Yeah, he's right.
He does. So there's no editing in this next part. Oops, sorry.
You don't care.
It's like a bull.
What's happening there?
What is happening? I mean, I guess he's just, you know, his face is red and his veins are bulging out of his neck and he's just apoplectic at that point. He just can't control himself, it sounds like.
You don't breathe that much after a marathon. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell is going on?
You don't care.
You just enjoy insulting me. That's all.
I so do because you hurt me so bad.
Not do anything and I apologize for nothing.
All right. Now, that is not what you want to say to Mel Gibson.
No. It's not going to go over well.
The gist of this conversation, as I'm trying to follow it, is she fell asleep and he was going to come over and have sex with her.
Yes, correct.
And that's why he's so upset.
I guess. Yeah.
Is that what you're getting from this?
That was part of it. Yeah, that's what she said. I was taking care of the baby. I was like, so this happens.
What?
She wouldn't apologize.
Stop. You apologize for nothing?
Stop.
Well, then you're a dishonest.
You need medication.
What?
That's not what you want to tell me. She's right.
You need medication.
I need a woman. Not a little girl with a dysfunctional. I don't need medication. You need a bat in the side of the head.
Okay.
Oh.
Now, that's where it seems like the authorities might get involved.
Well, they are requesting the tape because they do want to investigate. That is
a bat to the head is really pretty much a death threat.
Yeah.
And
listen to him and how he delivers it.
Right, not like that. You need a doctor. You need a brain transplant. You need a soul. I need medication. I need someone to treats me like a man, like a human being, with kindness, who understands what gratitude is because I bend over backwards with my in a knot to do it all for her, and she gives me like a sour look, or says I'm mean. The is that?
Yeah, what is that? She says he's mean. What is that?
Where is that coming
What's
from?
What's that?
What are you making stuff up for, Oksana? I'm delightful.
What is that?
What's more likely, that Mel Gibson needs medication or that Oksana needs a brain transplant?
And a soul.
And
I'm going to go with Mel Gibson with the medication.
Now, look, he may drop dead before the police ever get around to arresting him. Listen to him.
He could use some jogging. There's another minute and a half, and it's gold, and we have to break and come back.
Darn it.
We have to break and come back.
Hurry.
Okay.
Look, we got a lot of things we want to get to on today's program, including, most importantly, the canwich, which is a sandwich in a can. But we can't go on until we hear some more from the Mel Gibson tape. Radar Online posted the audio last week of part one, now part two. There may be more still to come. It's shocking and terrifying. And Lisa and I were talking about during the song there, Kevin. What do you do if you're Oksana? You don't want to stay on the phone and listen to this, get screamed at all night. But the real fear is you hang up and he does come over.
Yeah.
What you're trying to avoid,
she's
right?
She's trying not to inflame him.
Right. She's recording him, though, which is the smartest thing.
Right.
And the other thing is, you know, if she gets the idea he's on his way over, she has to go someplace where she's safe.
Yeah.
This is super brutal, and it's what our charity deals with 24/7.
It's women in this exact same situation who are just terrified, right?
Yeah, it's the you don't have any friends, you're worthless, you got nothing, you got nowhere to go, and they make you believe it, and then you end up feeling that that's the truth, and it takes sometimes an entire life to get past something like this.
Yeah.
But back to the alleged Mel Gibson tape. We have to say that for legal reasons. But, you know, you can make up your own mind if it sounds like him. He needs to get in shape, I think, is what we're learning for this.
I can't listen to this anymore.
You hang up. I'm coming over there.
All right. Now she
there
starts.
It is.
Now she, for the first half of the phone call, she's been like all valiumed out.
Yeah.
Just not saying a word, whatever. Now she's starting to get angry, and she's starting to fight back a little bit.
Then I will go to Alicia's right now.
Why don't you f*** off to that bitch Alicia's? She was f***ing fucking eyes at me, she'd have me in 5 seconds. Take that one up with her. She'd have me in 5 seconds. She's not your friend. You don't have any friends except me. And you treat me like so that's why I'm so angry. Because I don't have any friends.
I wonder why that is.
You seem like such a nice man.
I don't have any friends.
And I try and make one from you and you treat me like
I don't give a damn if you don't spend another penny on me. I don't care. I am just fearing for the life of my daughter. Listen to me.
All right, so she's saying she doesn't want any money. He says, yes, you do. You need money. You'll just find someone else to pay for you. And now she's saying, now she gets into the I'm fearing for the, my daughter's life.
Listen to me. I'm listen. You almost killed. Did you forget?
Last 3 years has been a gravy train.
You were hitting a woman with a child in her hands.
No, you're all angry now.
You're gonna get to. You know what? You're gonna answer one day, boy. You're gonna answer.
Okay, now that's a voice you don't want to hear as a guy. As a woman that's that upset, you're gonna answer, and she knows that because she's taping the conversation.
Right.
Bet.
What?
Nothing,
me?
Nothing. I'm not the one to threaten.
I'm threatening. I'll put you in a rose garden, you.
All right, so.
Wow.
That's romantic, though.
I'll
I mean,
put
let's
you
be
in
honest.
The effing rose garden.
He's not talking about putting her in the desert. The rose garden is nice.
Again, seems perhaps like the authorities would be interested in that as a death threat.
Mm-hmm. You understand that? Because I'm capable of it. You understand that? Get a restraining order. For what? What are you going to get a restraining order for? For me being drunk and disorderly, for hitting you, for what?
All of the above.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know, I have not heard if a restraining order has been gotten, but one certainly should be.
Yeah, yeah, but I think his point is that's not going to help.
Yeah,
well,
so.
Even if he did.
He seems to be saying, I'm not doing anything that you need a restraining order for, which is ridiculous, of course.
Yeah.
Well, as disturbing and as dark as that tape is, there is a little hint of sunlight. There is a silver lining here because now – thank God there's a Mel Gibson Christian Bale mashup.
I got to tell you, the remix has saved society. The mashup,
I agree.
The remix. I mean, really, you could take something like that, which is 1,000% disturbing, put it together with the Christian Bale rant, and now you've got instant comedy.
McGee, you have something to say to this?
Stay on this phone and don't hang up on me. I can. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me? And I will.
Oh, good for you.
So just listen to me.
No!
You make me want to smoke.
Shut the up.
No! You.
I'm going to kick your ass.
You won't even try. Get the away from me.
What the are you doing?
You should just smile and me.
Do I want? No! Oh, da-da-da-da, like this in the background. What the f*** is it with you?
You make my life so difficult.
You're unbelievable.
What?
What don't you understand? I'm serious.
You have no soul. How about that?
Jake, man, you're amateur.
You.
Seriously, man, you and me, we're done professionally.
But you're a dishonest.
Are you professional or not?
No! I need a woman, because I deserve it.
Give me a answer. I'm gonna go. You want me to go crash your lights? Do you want me to crash them?
Absolutely, unequivocally.
Think for 1 second.
You need a brain transplant.
Then why are you crashing my scene?
Because you hurt me so bad that I will make your goddamn life miserable. Now, you have one more chance.
I'm gonna kick your ass.
Get a restraining order.
You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy, but I don't cut it when you bullshit around like this.
You don't have any friends except me, and you treat me like
I want you off the set, you.
Don't you dare hang up on me.
Stay off the set, man.
You hang up, I'm coming over there.
Yes.
So there you go.
Good times. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I'm very excited after a very dark half hour with the Mel Gibson audio tapes that now it's time for sunshine and puppy dogs and rainbows because, ladies and gentlemen, DeJuan is on the phone with us right now here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And DeJuan is our favorite Kevin Bean listener. Kevin Bean listener number one, as we have often said. He is looking for a career change, and I think he's come up with a good one. Hey, Dwan, how are you, my friend?
What's up, Kevin Bean? Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Dwan.
So you wanted DJ Omar Khan to teach you how to DJ, right?
Yep.
And what's the thinking behind that, Dwan? I mean, we all love music, but what made you think, hey, I want to be a DJ?
So I can make big-time money sometimes, but I want to get paid in cash, not checks.
Sure, yeah, because you want to hire him.
He's already got the cash, man.
He's already got a tax scheme in place. I like that.
And Omar, you're the professional here. Is it pretty easy for anyone to just be a DJ and make big-time money?
Not anybody, but I think Dwan has the skills.
Well, you have to be versatile.
Absolutely.
And that's where Omar asked him on this video. You can see it at kevinandbean.com, what kind of music.
Right.
And he doesn't really limit himself, which I think is smart if you're going to make a lot of money.
Rock, punk rock, hip-hop, techno, smooth jazz, R&B, old-school rap, old-school punk, and old-school R&B.
Cool, so everything.
Yes.
See, that's not bad, right? I mean, you have to branch out and be available for any party.
Yep.
Hey, Dwan could be the only DJ bringing smooth jazz to the party. I mean, let's face it,
that's
not
true.
A call for that usually.
You got to rock that smooth jazz, man.
That's a tough mix job, I would think,
right?
Right,
yeah.
Or the easiest ever. So, Dwan, then Omar asked you what type of venue would you like to play in? And you had some very specific ideas.
At the Ivar, at the Torridor, the Rossi.
So the hottest clubs in Hollywood is where you see
yourself playing, of course. Yeah, in West Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, West Hollywood?
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of gay people in West Hollywood. You okay with that?
Yeah, but I feel a little uncomfortable.
A little uncomfortable with the
and
gays, right?
I can do DJing Long Beach, San Pedro, everywhere.
But not West Hollywood.
No.
All right. Okay. Well, you weren't aware, Dwan, right? I mean, you didn't know. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't aware, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. So then Omar starts talking to him about the party scene. And Dwan, you're not a big party guy. As a matter of fact, on 420, didn't you email us to not party?
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened. So Omar's talking to you about that.
Yeah, the vibe. I mean,
vibe.
You know, being a DJ, you're around drugs, alcohol, you know, it's around everywhere.
Do you have a problem with partying, like, super, super hard?
A little bit.
Like, a little bit of pot, a little bit of cocaine, a little bit of heroin, okay?
But I like to take, like, a little break.
Sure, you can't. You have to take a break. I mean, that's...
Absolutely.
That's smart.
You know, you just take a 15 break in between shooting the heroin and snorting the coke, you're all good.
Now, Dwan, was it... did you think there was going to be as much training as there was in hyping up the crowd? Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, I got to have more DJ training before one of you guys hired me to DJ at the club.
Right, of course. But I'm asking, like, Omar then started teaching you that you got to get on the microphone and really, like, get people going.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you
definitely.
And here's a little of that.
Yo, what's up, people? This is DJ 90210 from Los Angeles, California. Like to say hello to you guys. Hello.
So that's good. It's a start.
A little intro.
Sure, I like that.
And Omar, that's an important part of DJing is to bring the energy, right? Bring the excitement. Bring the party. Let people know there's something going on.
Absolutely. You definitely, as a DJ, have to bring a different vibe to the party to stand out. For
right.
Sure.
Now, Dwan, you started doing some chants. When I say blank, you say blank, right? I mean, this is... And it looked like you were really getting into this.
Oh, yes, I am.
You like this part of it. Here's a little montage of that.
And I say 9-0, you say 2-1-0, 9-0. And I say Shanae, you say grind. And I say UC, you say LA. And I say you say SC. And I say... Hello, you say goodbye. And I say summer, you say time. And I say beat, you say dance. And I say sand, you say Pedro. Texas, baby. And I say
all right, man, that's cool, man. I think we have a superstar DJ in the making.
Oh, yes, baby.
Yeah. Listen to that energy. Any party would like
absolutely.
That, right?
Absolutely.
It's all about the positive energy. And then there were some songs. I mean, you did have to mix a few songs.
Yeah, this will show Dwan's eclectic taste in music.
All right, good.
Woo! Howdy, partner. I love you. Merry Christmas. Where's the single ladies at? Where's the the single Canadian ladies at? I got big booty bitches. I got big booty bitches. Me, so horny. Me, so horny.
Yeah.
Me, so horny. If I can like that. Where's the single ladies at? A hurricane by the Swarpians.
Who's it by?
The Swarpians.
The Swarpians?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
There it is. Rocking that mic, man.
Man.
Yeah, he's awesome, right?
DeJuan, that's what every party needs is that kind of positive vibe.
Yeah.
You're the best. I think we do need another training session. Just
I think
to make sure. Just
yeah,
to
for sure.
Just,
nobody gets it all in the
if you don't mind. So we'll set it up with you and DJ Omar Khan, and we'll do that.
No problem
and
at
you,
all.
You can see your video at kevinandbean.com right there at the top.
Okay, you guys can contact me anytime if you guys want me.
We do great. All the time.
Okay. Now, would you charge us to play a party for us, DeJuan?
How much?
Yeah, you should.
I was just wondering if maybe at this point, maybe we've done enough for you that you'd be willing to throw us a freebie, but I guess not.
No, he's a professional.
He's a businessman.
You don't get to be a professional by giving it away.
Seriously, you heard that audio, man. He's the man.
Wrong with you. Okay. All right, DeJuan, you're the best. You're the best.
Thanks.
All right. We'll All talk right. To you
Thank
soon.
You, buddy. Bye-bye now. Bye.
You say 2-1-0?
Yes, that's how it works.
Is that how that chance was to go?
That's how it works.
All right, I'll work on that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph is here with yet another look at the show biz beat. What's going on?
This is not a paid celebrity endorsement, but I do want to give you a heads up because it is summertime, and sometime there is a dearth of new television to watch.
Yes.
Tonight you may want to check out one of my favorite shows that's returning for another season called White Collar.
No!
Which is over on the USA Network, starring Tim DeKay and Matt Bomer, and he is dreamy.
He is Matt dreaming. Bomer. I just started recording this show.
I'm a yes.
It's an excellent, excellent program. It's lighthearted, well-written escapist comedy about a con man who is in prison, and the FBI pulls him out to try to use his powers for good. And
the FBI!
Help them solve crime. So
no!
You may want to check it out tonight because it's an excellent, excellent program that I enjoy enormously. And there's a new show on USA that I plan on checking out. With Piper Perabo. Remember our pal Piper Perabo?
Yeah. Yes. I saw the commercial for this. It looks like it might be all right.
Covert Affairs. She plays a secret agent who has to go undercover, I think in the premiere episode, as a Russian call girl. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good to see you. Welcome to my NADS.
And what channel is that on?
USA.
Wow. If it's a spy show, welcome, I have to watch it.
Yeah, I know. They're equating it with Alias.
Fantastic. So wouldn't it be great?
Going on? Yeah. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we?
Yes.
Bad news for Rush.
What? Limbaugh?
What's wrong with him?
No, Rush is being sued by an angry fan. It's the first time I ever heard of a band being sued by one of their fans. The band Rush. Apparently, a gentleman named Christopher Langone traveled from New York City all the way to Chicago in order to see Rush play an outdoor concert, which they canceled because of rain.
Was he suing God?
No, he's suing Rush. Because he says the ticket said rain or shine.
Oh. That is a big oops.
He flew all the way in from New York to see them perform, got there, it was canceled.
That's sounds legitimate.
He says the Chicago White Sox finished their home game that night, so the rain couldn't have been that bad. Rush.
Wow.
So he is suing them for the price of the ticket. He wants to be reimbursed for his airfare as well as other travel expenses.
That seems fair.
It is on. Rush said, "My friends, I have no intention of paying this man back. I don't even know what this lawsuit is referencing."
That's
and then someone
the
explained to Raj, it wasn't him, it was the band. Rush. He was confused, as we all get sometimes. I'm telling you, it's bad to be married in Hollywood. Sometimes you just can't make it work. Happened with Christine Milian and The Dream. They've split up. Us Weekly magazine says they've been split since late last year. But they've been keeping it quiet to protect their baby daughter, Violet. So they split up late last year. They were married in September.
Wow.
How long did that marriage last?
Did you see the pictures? Did you see why they broke up, Ralph?
I did not see the pictures. No,
I didn't. It's pictures of him with his assistant in very compromising positions out in the ocean.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his wedding ring on. And, you know, he was out working, quote unquote, and she was back at home with the newborn.
If they were out in the ocean, though, maybe he was just trying to save her. Maybe she was drowning or something. You know, maybe he was just trying to bring her into shore.
Right.
I don't know. She's got her legs wrapped around his waist.
Well, so she's scared. Look,
yeah, she's drowning, for right? God's sake. She's grabbing anything she can.
You hold on with anything you can.
I hope he tried that, but it looks like this one was in trouble right out of the gate, I'm sorry to say.
So anyway, they've split up, and it's sad news for all of us.
Well, they gave it a go.
They did. Tammy Lynn Michaels is splitting up with her wife, Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah.
And she is saying some blasphemous things about Melissa Etheridge.
Really?
You know what a huge Melissa Etheridge fan I am.
No, I'm
not really.
Okay.
Apparently, she wants total custody of their 3-year-old twins. And she says, Melissa has cut her off financially, so she wants support, as you can imagine. She says, right now, all she has is $4 in her bank account.
That's not much.
No, it's not.
Good analysis, Kevin.
Excuse me.
I won't even buy a sandwich.
A tempestuous legal battle going on right now. See, this is why I'm all for gay marriage.
Yeah.
Because I think gays and lesbians should suffer just like the rest of us do. I'm glad to see Melissa Etheridge suffering.
I love fish tacos, but are they better than eating beef tacos?
Even superstars like Beyonce aren't above the law.
Uh-oh.
Star Magazine reports that she got a $100 ticket in New York City last week for texting while driving. This is right on the heels of the story of her getting out of a car at a department store in London and the car taking the door off its hinges when she opened it up, when she was going to step out in traffic. Maybe Beyonce shouldn't be in motor vehicles, one way or the other. She apparently is not a safe driver nor a safe passenger.
And by the way, driving in New York City, I mean, that's...
Can you imagine texting while driving in New York City?
People and cabs, thousands and thousands of cars. That's crazy.
Los Angeles is known for its traffic and gridlock and nightmarish driving conditions, but I say it's got nothing on New York City.
Yeah.
When we go there for, events for the show and stuff, and you try to get around there, you can't imagine driving in Manhattan.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
Would be the scariest
thing
in the
world. But you get in a cab, and they're going 75 miles an hour on the sidewalk.
Up on the sidewalk, yeah.
Up the sides of buildings.
Maybe people shouldn't be texting there of all places.
Interesting casting news. That new show, Hot in Cleveland, that stars Betty White over there on TV Land.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they give me a brand new reason not to watch. Joe Jonas has joined the cast to play Valerie Bertinelli's son on the show.
How could they make it worse?
I think they just did. And Melina Kanakaridis.
I don't know who that is.
Took me an hour and a half to learn how to say her name this morning.
Said it well.
She was on CSI New York. Very popular CSI.
You said the curly
CSI
black hair Greek girl, really pretty.
You'd recognize her, Kevin.
If you saw her, you'd know her. She's a very lovely, attractive, talented actress. She's leaving the show after 6 seasons. She teams up with Gary Sinise on that show. They play partners. Apparently, she was offered a new contract, but was no longer interested in doing the show. So now they're replacing her with Cela Ward, apparently.
Oh, she's great.
We'll be taking over that role. So that's good stuff.
Those hour dramas are all day, every day, aren't they, as far as work hours?
Yes,
really,
that's true.
Really long weeks,
they
months.
Can work up to 14, 15, 16 hours a day. And like, don't get me wrong, it's not digging ditches, but still, that's a long day. No matter how you cut it. It's like making a movie all month long.
You don't really have a life.
Get out of breath.
Wow.
You didn't.
Get out of breath. Yeah.
Now making a movie, apparently, or something. Yeah.
You don't care.
We're just enjoying...
Nice work.
What was that?
Let's play pieces.
Was that on my tape?
Yes, it was.
That was you.
I have to revisit that. Sorry.
It wasn't us.
What was that, he said, as if we were to blame somehow.
I was just asking because I didn't know where it came from.
Today's celebrity birthday is Patrick Stewart. Make it so, number one. He is 70 years old today. Captain of the Enterprise, professor of the X-Men, toucher of unconscious women. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, maybe. If there was an unconscious woman, he'd touch her. I'm just saying. Just speculating.
All right.
Patrick Stewart is 70. Harrison Ford is 68. Cheech Marin of Cheech and Chong is 64. Cameron Crowe, very talented writer and director. Gave us Almost Famous, one of my favorite films. Mm-hmm. Jerry Maguire, I think, was also his, 53 years old. Jackass star and dad of Bam, Phil Margera, is 53 years old today. Bam, you want to say happy birthday to your dad at all? You want to shout out, give him a little birthday
Look
message?
At this big fat tummy.
Yeah, it's true. And Will Champion, drummer of
Will
Coldplay,
Champion.
Is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Here's what I'm saying. What's not to like? It's a sandwich in a can. That's a perfect item.
We found a new item called a canwich. And
not a joke. It's a true item.
Watch your ass, Lunchables. This begins because there's a new processed lunch in town, and it offers not only obstruction of bowels, but the dangerous sharp edges of a can. Literally, it's a candwich. It's a sandwich in a can.
Hmm.
So it stays fresh, and then you need it 10 years from now when there's an earthquake.
It's like a Twinkie, right? It's just good forever?
Well, like Ralph pointed out yesterday when he introduced us to the canwich, what's more convenient than a sandwich that you don't have to worry about squashing in your backpack or wherever you happen to be taking it? So
that is a good point.
We wanted to find out more about this revolutionary new product, the Canwich, and we have the inventor of the Canwich on the phone. He is Theodore Cord, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Can we call you Ted?
Yes, please do. Please call me Ted. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I couldn't be happier. It's such a pleasure to be on your show, don't you know? Are you okay?
You caught me by surprise. You sound like someone I know. Well, listen, Mr. Cord.
Yes.
The Canwich is a fantastic
isn't it a great thing.
It is. Tell us how you came up with it, sir.
Well, I was on a picnic with my girlfriend, my gal pal, as I call her, and we were going on a picnic, and we had a lovely lunch all prepared, put in a big knapsack, don't you know? And so she sat down, and she went to lean back on the knapsack, and all our sandwiches were flattened. Flattened as flat as a pancake, which isn't bad if you're eating pancakes.
Right.
But this was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and the peanut butter and the jelly was all over the inside of the wax paper, and you had to suck on the wax paper to get it off, and it was a horrible mess. And I said, wait a minute, this could be a blessing or a curse. So I decided to take this inspiration and make the Canwich.
So it's a sandwich in a can. There's PB&J.
Yeah.
And there's also barbecue chicken
sandwiches. We got two kinds of jam. Strawberry or grape, don't you know?
Okay. All right.
Or the barbecue chicken, which is just so popular with the kids.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it's in a sturdy can.
Uh-huh.
And like the one I have here. And then you open it up. And now you've got a delicious sandwich that you can order. So good.
Eat it right now, yeah.
Oh, it's good for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, anywhere you go that you're afraid you might crush your sandwich.
Forgive me for having this negative attitude, but my first reaction to this was, this is going to be a sucky sandwich.
No, it's delicious.
Because it's in a can.
No, you can your hunger. That's what we say at Canwich. Open up a can of whoopee.
Still working on those slogans,
yeah,
are you, Ted?
Still working on the slogans.
Now, where is the Canwich available?
Oh, almost anywhere.
We've seen it nowhere.
All right, well, we're still working on shipping it out there. Right. But soon they'll be almost everywhere.
Okay.
And now, this is so popular, we're expanding the line.
Oh,
you are?
We've got another product coming out called Bottle Lunch.
Bottle Lunch.
Yes. which is an amazing lunch right from a bottle. Right. This is the first one releasing. It's spaghetti and meatballs in a bottle.
Oh,
that is going to be a marinara sauce, don't you know?
Nobody wants to drink that.
Just pop it open and guzzle it down.
That doesn't sound.
I don't think I'd want to try that one,
good, actually.
Mamma mia, that's delicious spaghetti. Then we got veal roll-ups.
Oh!
For the veal lover on the go.
You just
pull out a yard or two of veal roll-up and just pop it in your mouth. It's pounded flat as paper, and then you just pop it in your mouth. It's all the delicious taste of a baby cow in a box, but it's in a roll.
Oh, I'm going to pass on that one if you don't mind, Tim.
And I hope you'll all try my tube steak.
Oh, your tube steak. You have tube steak in a can?
I've heard that before.
No, not in a can. It's part of our tasty pasty line, where we take delicious foods and turn them into a finely ground paste and put them in a tube.
Oh.
And you squeeze it out like toothpaste.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, the tube steak is filet mignon beaten into a paste stuffed into a tube.
No.
Oh, that's a terrible visual. Please stop saying that. Please don't say that anymore.
Congratulations to Jason Ryan, disqualified for a trip to see Muse. In Texas, by the way. Your chance coming up. It is 7:28.
Got an update on the Lindsay Lohan situation in the next hour for you also. What happens when you meet your celebrity crush? If you're lucky enough to come across the guy or girl of your dreams, how do you handle it? We've got a Kevin and Bean listener to tell his story, and we'll want to hear from you next hour, too. Right now, Kevin and Bean Afro Line is on the air. It's 323-520-AFRO. What are people talking about?
Have you guys noticed that Megan Fox was married to a guy whose initials spelled bag?
Yeah, does that help? Does that help you? Brian Austin Green, bag.
Guys, what's going on with Megan Fox's face? Is there plastic surgery happening here?
What? No, I haven't really
or
noticed.
Botox or something. Have you seen the pictures from the red carpet recently?
I was going to speculate Botox.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything recently.
Why screw with perfection? Why take a risk on something like that, Megan?
You have to ask her.
I did it. I actually watched Glee, and I can't believe it, but I like it. I thought Omar was right, and I love Glee now. I'm a Glee-aholic. And also, when I woke up this morning, I seem to have misplaced my penis. if anyone finds it, let me know.
Does it have the phone number on it, or some kind of a dog, some kind of identification? What? How are we supposed to know that? We don't always ask the questions that we should when we have certain guests on.
Okay, you guys suck. You guys have Joey Chestnut on there, and you don't ask him about his freaking bowel movements? I want to know what the guy...
Well, you're right. If you eat 60 hot dogs, what does that do to you later? That's a good question.
That is a good question.
We were talking as October is quickly approaching, which, of course, is Rocktober, which means MelFon, possibly.
MelFon.
Getting back together. We had a former intern named Chip who used to play bass for MelFon. And we said, wow, well, I wonder if she would even consider.
When I come back from MelFon, Kevin and Bean, it's not if, it's when. MelFon!
Can't wait.
Movie recommendation, you're welcome.
Just watched The Human Centipede. Thank you. Oh, my God.
Sir, listen to me. You'll never forget seeing The Human Centipede the rest of your life.
Bean is not great at sound effects, so when he tried to do the American Indian, we didn't recognize what it was supposed to be. This guy has his own version. Now,
that guy kicks my ass.
Yeah, and that's terrible. That guy was terrible.
Oh, that was bad, too? Because that sounded pretty good.
No, he kicks your ass and was bad at the same time. Here's a dude who, he's a little macho, and he doesn't like... We don't occasionally do things that are very serious on the show.
Damn you! Damn all of you! And damn that Nick Alexander import jerk! How am I supposed to keep up the tough guy image when you guys go around doing crap like that, giving that busted up lady with the accident a car? God, you people suck! Hey, get out of my way! Trying to drive here.
He's trying to get all tough again. Nice.
Annabelle will forever appreciate being known as the busted up lady, too, by the way.
And finally, we have two calls on the same topic, and that is our favorite video ever. That's a tough category. But one of them, for sure, and that's the Double Rainbow guy.
Oh,
here's the first
great.
Oh, dude, guys, I'm driving right now, and I see a double rainbow. Oh, my gosh. There it is. Oh, there it is. Yeah! Double rainbow all the way, dude. Double rainbow. What does it mean? Oh, my God. Double rainbow.
We have funny listeners. And finally...
Oh, man, it's even turning into a triple rainbow. Oh, what does it mean?
Here's the original guy. And then, by the way, when we come back in about 5 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show, you'll hear him being interviewed, answering the question we've all had, which is, what were you on? His answer will surprise you. And wait till you hear the Double Rainbow guy remix. This is the guy we're talking about.
Oh, my God. The Bean. Stop me. Too much.
Double Rainbow Guy next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Paul Vasquez is his name. On YouTube, he goes by Yosemite Bear, which sounds like it ought to be some sort of pedophile chat room name.
Yes, it does.
Yosemite Bear. But the guy is a nature lover, and he has become internationally famous with millions of hits because of the Double Rainbow video. By now, I think pretty much everybody has seen it. We do have it up at kevinandbean.com. But here's a taste of the Double Rainbow guy, and then you'll hear what he has to say about it.
Whoa! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Now, bear in mind, if you haven't seen the video, he's just a dude looking at a rainbow, okay?
He's behind the video camera, so all you see is his picture shot of the rainbow. Mm-hmm. That's it.
There's not unicorns running across the field or anything like that. It's just a rainbow.
Woo! Oh, wow! Woo! Yeah! Oh, my
He starts crying.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
I hope at one time in my life to be as happy about anything as that guy is about that stupid rainbow.
What does it mean?
After millions of people have enjoyed it online, finally they caught up with the guy, and he did a couple of interviews over the weekend on the Sunday morning shows. And here's a little bit of him describing that day to a terrible interviewer on the CBS show.
That rainbow lasted over an hour, and my camera only captured about 40% of the color.
Now, you seem pretty excited about this rainbow.
By the way, that's her question. Yeah. You seem pretty excited about this rainbow is the question.
What she means is you're so effing over the top about this rainbow. What's going on?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Look at that.
Then you uploaded it in January. So now it's July. Why are people only noticing it now?
Okay. The word he doesn't say in this next sentence, and I want to make sure he gets credit, is Kimmel. Kimmel is the word.
Is that? Jimmy tweeted it July 3rd, Saturday. And it blew up right as soon as he tweeted it. Yeah, Jimmy brought attention to it. Jimmy's my buddy.
Finally, what's the follow-up to Double Rainbow?
It's not up to me. The universe flows through me. I'm just the vessel.
Okay, the universe flows to Paul. He's just the vessel. So
what's the follow-up?
I know, right?
Really?
You're expecting something else from this stoner? Really? Jimmy Kimmel's how I found out about it, by the way, is he did tweet it over the 4th of July weekend. All right, now here's an interview with him on ABC where they do get to the essential question, which is, please tell us what you were smoking.
What does it mean, indeed? And now joining us via Skype is Yosemite Bear, Paul Vasquez. Good to see you, sir. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for making us smile with your video. So settle a bet for us. Several people here think you were licking toads. I'm going to go with mushrooms. What exactly were you on that day?
Any guesses as to what Yosemite Bear's answer is going to be?
It has to be acid.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Or mushrooms.
Or mushrooms. I would guess. I mean, those are the only two, right?
I was just on pure rainbow power. I was by myself, and it was just the spirit of the universe.
It was just pure rainbow power, Kevin. It was just the spirit of the universe.
You liar!
There's no way. There isn't any way.
Come on, man. Seriously.
You hear the guy? Yeah. You hear the ABC guy?
Come on.
He can't believe it either.
Influence me.
Come on, man. Seriously. Look me in the Skype and tell me you were sober when you shot this? You were just happy about the rainbow? Come on.
Yeah, I'm a pretty happy guy. And yeah, I mean, there's some other videos on my YouTube page where I was.
Oh, okay.
We haven't seen those yet.
A little high, but not that one.
Well, he says this one, he was sober. He was not high when he made the Double Rainbow video.
He doesn't remember what he took.
Well, the beautiful thing about the internet in 2010 is if there's a video, there's a remix. And I think this one for the Double Rainbow guy is one of my favorites.
Whoa, that's a full rainbow all the way. Double rainbow, oh my God. Double rainbow, it's a double rainbow all the way. Damn, it's a double rainbow all the way. Damn, oh my God. What does this mean? It's so bright, so vivid. Double rainbow, double rainbow. It's so dense, dense. What does this mean? It starts even look like a triple rainbow. That's a whole rainbow now. Ah! Double rainbow on the way across the sky. So intense. Double rainbow on the way across the sky. Oh my God, it's full of art. I can't even capture it on my camera. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Yeah, yeah. So intense. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Wow, wow. Oh my God, look at that rainbow. Wow. That is the baddest rainbow I've ever seen.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Mel Gibson's friends are turning their backs on him, says a story
at
popeater.com.
But why, Ralph?
I can't imagine.
What has he done?
Where? You know what? A friend in need is a friend indeed. That's what I say.
I've never heard you say that.
Mel's in need. Where are his friends? Indeed.
He said on the tape he doesn't have any friends. He did say that.
Yeah. Even the people he's worked with who stood up for him in the past during the anti-Semitic rant he went on when he was pulled over for drinking and driving, such as the likes of Jodie Foster and Dean Devlin, producer of several of his films, they are nowhere to be heard from. The only person this week who's gone on record speaking out on his behalf to a certain extent is Whoopi Goldberg, who Monday said on The View that she does not defend Mel's behavior in these phone calls, but she knows for a fact that he is not a racist, she says. She's had a long-standing relationship with him, and he said, I've seen him in my home with my kids, and I can tell you from personal experience, he is not a racist.
But that was what the first one was about,
right,
not this one. This
right.
one's about...
This is the best. This is the closest anyone can come to defending him.
Huh.
And then Joey Behar asked her several questions about, do you think he's an anti-Semite because of what he said? She said, look, I think he's an ass, and I think he was drunk. And people say stupid things when they're drunk, but obviously he's not drunk in this phone call, so you can't even use that to defend him. So it's damning him with faint praise. But
yeah. I saw that Whoopi clip, and I was wondering, just because he's nice to one black person doesn't mean he doesn't hate all other black
it
people,
doesn't.
Too. I mean, like Danny Glover, maybe he considers him a friend because they did all those movies together, but that doesn't mean the black guy that he doesn't know he's going to automatically be nice to.
But if you're
he
truly
be selective
racist,
in his racism.
You wouldn't be friends with someone of that group. You know, you wouldn't. You wouldn't involve them in your personal life. You can be nice to them professionally and face-to-face, but you wouldn't go out of your way to pursue a friendship with that person if you're truly racist.
This latest tape is...
He sounds fine. I don't know what the big hoopla is about.
I don't get it, by the way. What's he getting at? I don't understand.
He's worse than racist to me, this one.
Lindsay Lohan. She is working out her big payday for after she gets out of jail, even before she goes in. According to sources, she is currently trying to take the highest bidder for her post-jail interview. Well, she talked about what it was like to make love to a plunger handle and eat slop on a metal tray. She's asking for $1 million. According, again, to PopEater.com, the entertainment news and gossip website, currently bidding is over $500,000 for the rights to the pre- and post-jail interviews.
I'll tell you, that would certainly make your time in jail be a little easier to handle if you know you have $500,000 payday.
She's going to need it.
Need a big check. Well, this is the biggest offer she's gotten professionally in some time. The
irony,
says one insider in show business, is that she is currently in demand for this interview, and that's the only really arena where she can claim that. Mm. So.
Kevin, you're gonna love this. I know you've been excited about the Lindsay Lohan coverage. Tonight on one of the shows, maybe Access Hollywood, they're talking to a woman who has done time in that prison about what it's like.
And so it begins.
Cells. I remember cells, and there was a cot. I was sleeping on it, definitely had a cot. There were bars somewhere. I don't know, the windows or perhaps the door had bars.
Here's the thing. No one has anything to report, so they all have to go for these ridiculous stories.
You don't know, man.
I love it.
You are so surface. They're digging. They're digging to get at the meat of this story. All you want is the frosting and the cupcake, man.
Just saying.
You're no journalist.
I love it. No, I'm not. Did I ever say I was?
Tragic news today. YMC, long-standing charitable organization. For 166 years, the YMCA has been in business, a place where young Christian men could go and find a cheap bed and a place to stay when they're in a strange city, and also maybe get a good workout, maybe a steam or a sauna, and if you're lucky, no
bad. Sounds like you spent some time there, Ralph.
They are changing their name. The YMCA and the YWMCA will now certainly simply be known as the Y. Now you will just go to the Y. There will be no YWCA, no YMCA.
Are you sure it's just not the YWCA?
No, it's just the Y.
All right, I'm just asking.
It's just the Y.
Right. Can you eat there?
The village people, by the way, are inconsolable. They now have to go on stage and go, Y! Why? It's not going to be the same for them on stage. They will not be enjoying playing.
I never thought about that.
Oh, they're ruined. They're ruined.
In fact, it's one of the biggest songs ever.
Oh, they're so screwed.
That's funny.
People say, what are they talking about? Oh, it's the Y. Oh, why are they using all those extra letters? And Charlotte Church, you're familiar with her? I don't do a lot of classical music news.
She classical
singer? Church is a young Welsh woman. I believe she's Welsh. She's either that or British. She is sort of like a prodigy. Was a prodigy. A young teen
like
singer.
Like an opera singer,
yes, who would sing all kinds of classic opera and classical music. And she apparently is now just a drunken mess.
Uh-oh.
According
really?
To the London Sun tabloid, she has a bit of an alcohol problem. One close friend told the tabloid, the only reason I bring this story up, Charlotte went on a little bender, she said, this weekend and drank for 18 hours straight.
Dude.
Wow.
That is impressive.
That is good.
No matter what kind of music you sing.
How old is she now? Because I know when she got famous, she was super young, like 13, 14.
Yeah,
what is she now?
Now she is older.
Is she even old enough to drink, I was wondering.
I would guess she is.
If she's British or Welsh, she was old enough to drink when she was born. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I think so.
You know what I'm saying? They drink early over there.
Right.
And often. Uh-huh. Like often. Today's celebrity birthdays. Patrick Stewart from Star Trek The Next Generation and the X-Men films. And what else? What else has he done? Anyone?
Isn't he an American Dad?
Yes, yes, he
voice.
Is. Very well done, Kevin.
Thank you.
Yeah, something's going on with you lately.
Yeah, he's been
using,
awfully sharp.
Using words with multiple syllables, and you're remembering stuff, and people, and places. I'm a little concerned. You might get checked out.
I think the answer is F you.
I think you might be like John Travolta in that movie Phenomenon, where he started getting all these wonderful powers, and turns out he had a big brain tumor. I think you might have a brain tumor. That's all I'm saying. You want to get an MRI.
It's scary that we are frightened when Kevin comes up with a name.
I'm telling
just
you.
Trying to help, guys.
We appreciate that, but still, it's unsettling. You know, if I go home today and my dog starts talking to me, it's going to be great, but it's going to freak me out a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
So me
like
coming up with an
dog.
Answer is like a talking
that's
dog.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I would put more money on Reggie coming up with an answer than I would on you.
That's yes. Hurtful.
Harrison Ford is 68 years old today. Wonder how that madman celebrates his birthday. He must go off.
I bet.
I want to get some tape of him screaming at Calista Flockhart. That'll be entertaining.
Harrison Ford on a bender.
You have no soul. I'll get a baseball bat. You don't think I don't have the energy to come over there.
I'm sorry, what? You have what?
Don't think I don't have the energy to come over
there. That would be disturbing. That's all
sure would be. Yeah, let's leak that. See if we get someone to pick it up.
I will put you in the rose garden. You are just sucking life out of me.
He's angry. Our support is angry.
I've never heard him that angry.
Cheech of Cheech and Chong is 64 years old today. Cameron Crowe, talented actor, director, and writer, is 53. Phil Margera, dad of Bam from Jackass, turns 53. And Will Champion, drummer of Coldplay, is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, Kevin, when the Lindsay Lohan reports started surfacing about all the drugs that she was on that she's allowed to take,
yeah.
Even though she's got the scram bracelet she's not supposed to drink, you were very familiar with one of them. What was that one that
Dilaudid.
You said? Dilaudid. And what's that all about?
I think it's stronger than morphine.
It's a painkiller?
It's one of those super, super strong painkillers that basically you get with an injection in a hospital or at a doctor's office. So you don't get it at home. It does come in pill form, but it's super strong.
TMZ.com.
Coming from?
Yeah, what is she saying? TMZ.com is reporting that she is starting to wean herself from some of the drugs ahead of going into prison in a week. And I don't know if that's because she's not allowed to have them. You think if you have a doctor's prescription, you can still take your drugs in the prison. But they say she's starting to wean herself off from those drugs, including that one, including that Dilaudid.
That is not going to be an easy one to get off.
No.
Yeah, so she's a mess, and we have so many questions about her turning herself into jail on the 20th. We thought, why not go straight to the horse's mouth? Producer Alex, who's a miracle producer, has been able to get Lindsay Lohan herself for us on the Kevin and Bean Show on the phone right now. Hey, Lindsay, how are you?
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
No, it's Kevin and Bean, actually, Lindsay. The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Carson.
Nope, still Kevin and Bean.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah.
All right.
So today's the 13th. That yes. means a week from today, you turn yourself in, you go
yes,
to jail.
That's when I'll be going in. And I'm really not looking forward to it. As you imagine, I'm scared to death.
Uh-huh.
But
well, certainly.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time, I guess is what they say.
That is what they say.
And so I have to pay my debt to society.
What scares you most?
Hold on.
What are you doing there, Lindsay?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Really?
Very popular.
Here it is.
Yeah. most scares me the most, I guess, would be... I don't know if their masseuses are any good in there. I'm concerned. I'm afraid, you know, if I get a knot in my shoulder or in my back and I need a nice rub down, who knows if they're going to be any good at it or not.
They don't have masseuses in jail. If someone's
okay, all right, whatever you say. Yeah. All right. But you know, I'm concerned keeping my manicure up, of course.
Sure.
Well, again.
I have no idea what the cuisine will be like. And so, naturally, I'm concerned. Mm.
What's
that? Okay, what are you drinking now?
It's a little champagne. I've got a nervous stomach.
Right. Lindsay, you understand that in prison, you don't get those creature comforts that you're used to. There's not going to be anyone doing them.
What are you doing now? Someone knocking on. What's that?
Oh, just a little headache powder.
Okay.
Wow, did that give you a headache? It works.
No one is going to be there to do your nails. No one is going to be there to rub.
What's that?
What is all that?
I just a little dilouted. Or okay, diluted. I don't know what it is, but it's yummy.
Yeah. I thought you were getting off of that. You're trying to wean yourself from that before you went into prison.
I'm weaning. You can't stop. Just stop. You have to wean.
You know, it sounded like you had like 10, 12 pills there.
Well, that's a slow wean.
Okay. All right.
So how long do you expect to be in jail? What is your attorney telling you?
They said I can expect, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes max. So I'm just going to have a cab waiting for me outside.
Okay. You really got to lay off all these drugs, Lindsay. This is not good for you.
I don't understand.
Is that a blender?
No, nitrous.
Oh, nitrous. Oh, okay.
You got a big tank going. Somebody just fill the room with it.
You do still have the scram bracelet on, though, right?
What?
I say you're still wearing the scram. Technically, you're
so
not supposed
high.
To... You're so high.
Hold on, I
gotta
lick a toe.
Oh, oh my god.
Lick a toe? Oh.
Is there anything she won't do?
Gross. What's that, Samantha there?
No, I'm licking a toad.
No.
But that's similar when I'm with Samantha, quite frankly.
Yes, it is. You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Tuesday. We're going to talk about a subject very near and dear to my heart, and that is celebrity crushes.
Stalkers.
I've got a lot of them.
There's
a reason why I'm not allowed to go more than 100 yards from my home. But it's funny because I was thinking about at the time that Tyra Banks first came into our studio many, many years ago, before she got all crazy and had the talk show, back when she was just a model and kept her mouth shut, and we all liked her, and I know that's hard to imagine now, but there was a time. Remember when she came in and how excited I was because she was my number one all-time celebrity crush? I handled it pretty well.
Oh,
I think
really?
You'd have to admit.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember when she came in and you had cut out every photo you could find of Tyra Banks in every magazine and newspaper and had meticulously pasted them into a collage surrounding your microphone in the studio?
Yeah, she was scared out of her mind.
And then she saw that collage. And it freaked her right the F out.
She considered it a tribute.
She
and
was
I'm going to tell you, she came back several times after that, and we always got along great. Even though I love her so much, I was raping her with my eyes, I still managed to maintain my composure and have it be a pleasant situation for all. And I'm just thinking, I'm the man, first of all.
Sure.
And second of all, celebrity crushes, very difficult. Easy to fail when you meet your celebrity crush. Like Psycho Mike, when he went face-to-face with Megan Fox a few months ago, wasn't expecting it at all. Come around a corner in a store, there she is. Right, Mike?
Fail. That's exactly what happened. I was at a clothing store, had no idea that she was in there. I turned to the corner, and I was face-to-face with Megan Fox, and this is what I came up with.
That's it. Yeah.
And then scurried away. And scurried away.
And that sound came from his pants. It wasn't even his mouth. However, I, for example, met Charlize Theron back in the day originally.
Yeah.
We hit it off famously. I charmed the pants off her. We became very, very close. And then the next thing I know, she was bringing me champagne and cake on my birthday.
That did happen.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
All
she
I'm
was
saying. Some of us handle it better than others is all
that
I'm
saying.
That
was more of a win. I agree with
That's
that.
All I
I'm
ran
saying.
Into Magic Johnson, and I said the same thing Mike said to – Megan Fox.
That's your celebrity crush.
You're great.
All right, let's talk to Kevin Bean listener Nick, who you remember from back in the day. He was our window licker who has now moved on to bigger and better things. Nick has the highest voice in the world, and it's always a pleasure to talk to Mr. Nick on the phone. How are you, Nick?
I'm great. Life is super duper.
I know it is. Here's the first paragraph from the latest 10,000-word Unabomber manifesto that Nick sent to us, because Nick can't write 5 words when he can write 5,000.
Nick can't say no to a keyboard.
Here it is. Capital letters, I met Amber Heard, !! The baggage is now gone. The dark rain cloud hanging over my head is all sunshine now. I met her on Friday night. I've got the pictures to prove it. Redemption is mine! Amber Heard is a very popular actress from Pineapple Express, probably best known for Zombieland, I would imagine. But Nick has been hot for her forever. And you finally met her, Nick.
I did, yes. Yeah, I did. I met her at a liquor store.
Well, you remember when we had her on and we gave Nick a chance to talk to her because we knew he was a big fan and he didn't call. And then he had 17 different excuses why he couldn't call. Oh, I could have forgotten.
I was busy editing my screenplay.
I was doing other things. And so he's felt bad since. Now he finally ran into her.
Yeah, I saw online he was like hosting an art show, and I went to it, and well, actually I met her beforehand. Like, there was like a liquor store right nearby the gallery, and I saw her across the street, and she went into the liquor store, and I was like really nervous and scared, but obviously I didn't want to blow it again, so I just went for it, and it went great.
Do you remember after you didn't call us, and then we called you back, and we said, why didn't you call us? You were crying.
Meltdown on the air. It was bad, but I'm happy.
No, it wasn't bad. It was
but
great.
Now the water's back in the hose. That's what I understand.
Nick
what,
says
is that, what does that mean, Nick? The water is back in the hose.
Kevin said you can't put water back in the hose after I failed.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I remember
it was a callback.
Who remembered that? All right, so now the water is back in the hose.
We should have known if a phrase like that was confusing to us. It came from Kevin.
So, Nick, I'm dying because we're going to take calls from our listeners at 1-800-520-1067 who have been lucky enough to come face-to-face with their celebrity crush. I want to hear how you handled it. So you're across the street at the art gallery. You see her get there early and go into the liquor store. You decide, hey, this is my time. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to talk to her. What did you say when you walked up to the beautiful Amber Heard?
Well, I told her she was my favorite actress. I told her I really liked The Informers because she was all hot and naked in that. And
But you didn't say because you were hot and naked in that, did you?
No.
Okay.
Look, I mentioned you guys and that I missed talking to her and she said, oh, I remember you. And, like, when she said that, I felt safe. I felt, like, really safe around her.
She felt less safe suddenly.
Yeah, I'll bet that wasn't a pleasant memory for her.
I also told her I had a story. I told her, like, I'm writing a story. I'm a writer.
Oh, no. You didn't start telling her the story, though, did you, Nick?
I didn't say do it. I didn't say, like, be in it.
But, Nick, do you remember when we did Dodger Day?
I wrote an 800-page screenplay for you.
We did a Dodger Day game, and it was the entire baseball game. Nick was trying to explain his screenplay to us for the whole all nine innings. And he was, like, through the first scene. You didn't tell her about your movie, though. You didn't tell her what it was or any of the plot.
I told her I had something. I didn't go into like, heavy detail about
all
it.
All right.
Oh, good. Well, good. You are learning then. You're growing up then. This, how long do you think you talked to her?
I talked to her like a few minutes.
How long after you started talking to her did you get the idea that she just wanted to get away?
She was so nice. She's the coolest.
She is.
I don't think people like
she
Nick
is cool.
ever get that.
Yeah. That's yeah, probably so. Now, Nick, I have to ask because you sent us a photo and it's great. It does look like a hostage photo. I mean, it really it looks
she
like you're grabbing
today's newspaper and you do have a scimitar to her throat.
You are grabbing onto her so tightly. Who took the picture?
There was like someone else there. She had like someone else with her and like, you know, it was like a friend or something and like she took the picture.
Okay, it's a fantastic photo because you have an evil, sadistic, serial killer grin on your face.
Yes, you do.
And you're holding on to her so tight. Now
she's backbending to try to stay as far away from you as humanly possible.
Oh, she's trying to pull away desperately.
So how did you leave it with her? Do you think that you'll see her again, Nick?
I hope so. I think I made the best impression I possibly could. You know, she said she knew who I was. Like, you guys had told her about me.
Right.
And then, like, it planted some seed in her memory.
Okay.
And now the seed's going to grow.
Now, wait, what? And how's the seed going to grow? And how are you going to – did you get her phone number?
No.
Okay, so your hope that you're going to run into her again is just based just solely
I'm
on –
I'm just going to hang in liquor stores and wait for her to come back in.
Look, when Nick is done with his screenplay, he will hire a truck to take the first chapter over to Amber's agent, and he'll wait till she's has 50 years to read it.
No, I'm gonna get this done soon, and then things will start
sure.
rolling.
Now, Nick, did you offer to pay for her alcohol? That would have been smooth.
It would have.
I don't know. That might have weirded her out.
Yeah, that would have weirded her out. Not holding on for dear life like you're going to choke her out.
I know you guys mock. I'm very proud of Nick for
maintaining his
composure and being able to talk to his dream girl like that.
You don't know how it went, Bean. How Nick says it went. I'd love to talk to her.
I've been on the show for years, and I do not come on and tell lies.
You lied about not calling in the day we set it up. You lied about five different ways.
That was a screw-up. That was bad. That was a mistake, but I have, like, I'm past that now.
Just giving you some examples of lies.
Look, ordinarily I would doubt Nick also, but now that I know the water is back in the hose, I'm down with him. I think he's fun. Nick, seriously, congratulations and thanks for sending us the note, all right?
Awesome.
All
yeah.
right.
Life is great.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Life is great.
This is what a comeback looks like.
All right. I'm looking forward to these calls. You met your celebrity crush. Did you do as well as Nick did, or do you do as poorly as Psycho Mike did? We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next right here on the Kevin and Bean. All right. Let's get right to these calls on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. You heard Kevin and Bean listener Nick had an encounter with his celebrity crush actress Amber Heard. Went pretty well, according to Nick. Let's see how yours went. Let's start with Emily. She's on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. I can't imagine how awesome this was for her. But Emily, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging on. What happened?
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
First time.
Thank you.
Okay, so I, you know, love K-Rock, listen to that kind of music normally, but I have to confess I'm a huge Nick on the Block fan. So okay. I went to a Jordan Knight concert, got in the front row, and, you know, kind of flirted the whole concert. And then after the show, I was able to convince the tour manager to let me up on stage.
Yeah.
After which he asked if we wanted to go backstage. Me and my friends hopped up on stage, went backstage, just kind of hung out back there, ended up at the hotel room later on that night.
Okay, all right, now we're talking. It's a little easier for the girls to meet their celebrity crushes than the guys, yes, by the way. It's occurring to me now. All right, so you banged Jordan Knight, then what happened?
No, actually I didn't. I really didn't.
Just your two friends?
You're not much of a stalker.
No, actually, I figured that, you know, that happens all the time, so it'd be a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Right.
But the tour manager wasn't as cute, so I had a plan to go the angle of the tour manager, because I figured it could be a, you know, repeat occurrence.
Okay.
So I hung out with the tour manager, we exchanged numbers, he gave me his number, he gave me a call, like 3 weeks later, asked me if I wanted to go to Seattle. And they flew me out to Seattle, and then I became their merch girl. So
what?
Yeah.
You got a job out of it?
I did. I worked for him for about 6 months going on tour.
That's way. That's the most successful one I've ever heard. We were looking for failures.
Granted, I'm sure the fact that he's like, you know, a has-been had something to do with it. But it was cool for me.
Huh.
How about that? All right. Last question. I'm glad you called. We got to move on. But last question is, did you like Jordan Knight as much after you worked for those guys for 6 months as you did when you first embarked upon the journey?
He was an amazingly nice guy. He's very antisocial, so it was cool to get to know him on, like, a friendship level.
Mm-hmm.
But it took away the excitement of, you know, the untouchableness of a celebrity.
Yeah, they become human.
Yeah. And then it was kind of like, well, over it.
Okay. All right, great story. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Jenny. Jenny is on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about celebrity crushes. Hi, Jenny. Who was yours?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
My celebrity crush from way back in the day, Jared Leto, Jordan Catalano on My So-Called Life. My
pretty
and I
dreamy.
Were all, oh my gosh, all obsessed with him.
Sure.
And so a couple of years ago, I'm in Paris with my boyfriend, and we know a friend of ours is a videographer with 30 Seconds to Mars. And we come up out of the metro one day, and we see a poster that they're playing. And we knew they were on tour somewhere, but didn't know they were in Paris that night.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, we have to go see Jared Leto, my crush, oh my God. Going off to my boyfriend about this. And so we end up, whatever, finding our friend somehow, going backstage. And my boyfriend's like, okay, well, let's move on here. I'm like, no, I have to meet Jared Leto. I'm adamant about this. And so we stay after the show, and I do end up meeting him, and it was just like the pinnacle of my life.
Right.
Yeah, he's a super, super cool guy to his fans.
He's super cool. Although he was wearing a lot of eye makeup, which he
that always happens.
On my
that
life.
Always happens as well.
Yeah. So, anyways, we end up getting back to our hotel like 2 a.m. And my boyfriend's like, okay, well, let's go out for a drink. I'm like, what? No, I'm done. I met Jared Leto tonight. Like, this was the best night of my life. Turns out my boyfriend was planning on proposing to me that night, and wanted for us to like go out to this romantic dinner, and had this whole plan to propose on the hill in Montmartre. And when we got out of the subway and saw the flyer, and it turned into like Jared Leto night, that was not exactly how he had.
Yeah.
So Jared Leto ruined your marriage proposal, basically, is this story.
Yeah, but the good thing is that it all worked out fine. Finally, he convinced me, my boyfriend convinced me to go out to the bar, and he proposed, and it was all great, and we're coming up on our 2-year wedding anniversary this weekend.
Wow, how
all
about right. that? All right, congratulations. That's awesome.
You're lucky he stuck through that.
Yeah, I know.
If you don't mind my saying. Okay.
Let's talk to Martha, line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about celebrity crushes. You finally got a chance to meet him or her. How did it go? Martha, you're on the air. Go ahead.
And then once they sign off the back of it.
Hello.
Martha?
All right.
Martha apparently having a conversation Thank with somebody Martha. Else, so we'll move on. Let's go to Maritza. Is that the name on line 3? Maritza.
Yes.
A celebrity, maybe barely a celebrity. Just a celebrity for the last 20 minutes. Maritza, who's your crush?
Good morning. My crush is Pauly D.
From?
Jersey Shore?
Yes.
Really?
That's your crush?
Okay.
That's the ultimate? That's the pinnacle?
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather hang out with Mel Gibson than Pauly D.
Really?
All right, go ahead.
You met him, okay. How'd it go?
Yeah, I met him at the Palms in Vegas, mm-hmm. and I actually had passed him up and didn't realize it, so I ran back and I took a picture with him, and I wanted to tell him how he was my favorite and how he looked hotter in person, and all I could say was,
Yeah, that seems to be the common thread, is that you have too much to say. There's no way to get to it all, so you just stammer and walk away.
Yeah,
right.
I don't even bother.
But then again, he's Pauly D.
Yeah, you don't admit that to your friends or anything, right?
No.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, good. Very nice.
That's important.
All
Thank
right,
you.
Let's try Edmund. He met everyone's celebrity crush. Hi, Edmund, line 6. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
So I met... Salma Hayek at a bar in Huntington Beach, and
are you sure it was Salma Hayek, or had you been drinking?
Sure. I'm so sure. All right. Because I was like, Salma Hayek, and she turned around, and then all I could say was, "I."
That's it. Just I just wanted to. Nothing came out, huh?
I have a crush on Lisa May too, so I'm kind of excited right now.
Well, you're a little more verbal with me. I appreciate that.
Well, you are a sexy lady.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right. Can I have your phone number?
Yes, you can.
Sure. I'd like to arrange it to you.
I'd like to arrange that celebrity crush meeting.
It's 555-7213.
7213.
Yes.
All right.
Area code, whatever you want. Thank you.
You guys remember a few minutes ago we went to Martha on the line to talk about meeting her celebrity crush, and she wasn't there. We heard another voice.
Yep.
She was pulled over by a police officer while she was on hold.
Oh, no.
For being on the phone? Well, it doesn't say. It just says that she was pulled over and was being written up with a ticket while we were trying to go to her. So she writes in to apologize. But we, in fact, Martha, are apologizing to you. We certainly didn't mean for that to happen. And they're pretty serious about the tickets for talking on the phone now these days. So
sorry, Martha.
Anyway, that's the Martha update. So, all right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's happening?
Oh, can't wait for Comic-Con so much.
It's a week from Thursday? Okay.
Yeah.
So. Me either. I'm very excited.
Stop it. You're not allowed to be excited. I'm excited because I am, once again this year, hosting a bunch of panels down there, which is kind of fun because you get to be a member of the VIP crowd without actually having to be a VIP. I'll get to rub elbows with people who really belong there, and I'll just sort of be there stuck on the on like a barnacle on their big ships.
That's all right.
Because that's what champions do.
That's what champions do. They become barnacles on the ships of show business. And one of the movies I'm excited about that I will be doing a panel for is Salt.
Oh.
New movie coming from the good friends Sony.
Is she going to be there?
And there is rumblings that Ms. Angelina Jolie will be there at Comic-Con to promote.
She generally is pretty available for press. I mean, she... You know, she definitely works hard to promote her movies, so I wouldn't be surprised if
Isn't
she showed.
Isn't she the type of person, though, that would make every head explode at Comic-Con? I
yes.
mean, those guys, let's
yes.
be honest.
Not only is she Lara Croft,
yeah.
but she is just diabolically smoking hot and looks like a walking action figure.
Yeah.
She is a comic book heroine come to life. And I'm just concerned about when, if and when we meet, the sexual tension between us. I'm concerned for her relationship with Brad Pitt.
What sexual tension between you?
Well, there will obviously be a sexual tension between
us. Oh, you're taking that for granted.
I think we all are.
Okay.
And then we have to deal with the paparazzi and the tabloids because she's going to leave Brad, and I'm going to be the one responsible.
You got a rough road ahead
Don't
of you,
do
man.
That.
I got to break
all
the news to
kids.
My wife then. What are we going to do? The good news is I know she'll adopt Olivia. I know that won't be
that's
a problem.
True. That's
my true. My daughter will be all taken
Although
care of.
Although your wife might not want that to happen.
Well, look,
so now
as if
complications
she's got
again.
A say in this.
Okay. All right.
Must I remind you, I am the man.
All right, Mel Gibson.
And I hope why, to God she's not listening.
And why would you want Olivia to be in a broken home when she could be with a happily married couple like Ralph and Angelina? I mean, that's clearly
that's
better for
right.
the child.
And it'd be like a Benetton commercial for her all day long, too, hanging out with all the other kids. She would get exposed to all cultures at the same time. I think it'd be better for her. Anyway, if you'd like to see Salt, well, how about more than that? How'd you like to go to the world mother effing red carpet premiere of Salt?
Will she be there?
I'm sure she'll be at this one. She may not be with me in Comic-Con, but she will be at the world premiere at Grauman's Chinese Theater, Monday, July the 19th is the date. If you'd like to go, I've got 5 pairs of passes to give away right now to the first 5 callers who can get through at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First 5 people get through. I'm going to toss you a pair of passes to go to the world premiere of Salt, which looks just action-rific.
Nice melons.
You know, originally Tom Cruise was supposed to be in this film.
Is that right?
Salt was supposed to be a man.
Oh.
Things fell through there. I guess they wanted the film to be a hit. So they changed their plans, and then they altered the character, made it a female spy who works for the CIA, who gets accused of being a Russian agent, and then Miss Angelina Jolie.
Like, there's Russian agents anymore. That's ridiculous.
Right. Like, there's people in America pretending to, you know, get secrets who are actually Russians working for the other government.
What?
Speaking of Comic-Con, I told you yesterday that Edward Norton will no longer be involved as the Incredible Hulk in the upcoming Avengers movie.
Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Mel. Marvel chief Kevin Feige said yesterday that they made a decision not to include Edward because they need an actor, and I'm quoting from his statement, who embodies the creativity and collaborative spirit of our other talented cast members.
Meaning can't get along with?
That's what it sounds like, right?
Wow.
Well, Ed's representatives issued something yesterday. Today, Sir Edward Norton himself has released a letter defending his position in this brouhaha.
Okay.
As most of you know, I don't like to talk much about the business of making movies because it means a lot to me to protect the audience's fullest enjoyment of the magic that films can have. But I am so appreciative of the outpouring of support from fans of the Hulk and the Avengers that I feel it would be rude not to respond. So here goes. It seems it won't work out for me to continue playing Bruce Banner for Marvel and the Avengers. I sincerely hoped it could happen and be great for everyone, but it hasn't turned out as we all hoped. I know this is very disappointing to many people, and that makes me sad. But I am very sincerely grateful to Marvel for extending the offer, and even more so for giving me the chance to be a part of the Hulk's long, excellent history. And I really can't thank the fans enough for how much enthusiasm you've sent me, sent my way about Lewis and what we tried to do in turn with the legend. It means a lot to me. I grew up with Hulk and Bruce Banner and been a fan of every incarnation. I'm really proud and very blessed to have been with one of them and am thrilled to see it live through other actors. Hulk is bigger than all of us. That's why we love him, right? Sincerely, Edward Norton.
Well, that's nice.
So apparently he is taking the high road and he is not bashing Marvel for their choice and just wanted to give the fans something to chew on. So,
and I'm disappointed because every movie is improved by Edward Norton's participation.
Yes, and he was
excellent. He's a tremendous actor.
In the second Hulk movie. I didn't think it was a great film, but it certainly was better than the first attempt at the live-action Hulk movie, and I was looking forward to seeing him in Avengers, but we shan't. So, who do you think? Who plays Bruce Banner? Who plays a man so filled with rage that he can transform himself and become a monster right before your eyes?
Can't think of
anyone. Give me a bat in the side of the head. All right? How about that?
I can't think of anyone.
No, no actor like that I can think of. You'd have to breathe heavy and make noises and sound like an animal, you know? Filled with rage. Hard pressed to find an actor who could fill those shoes.
That clip was real. That's the scary part. We didn't edit it together to make it worse. That was real.
Are you one of those rare 6 foot tall women that are beautiful, has a beautiful shape and a great butt and great cans?
Yes, I am.
And you'd like to be on the cover of Vogue and other fashion magazines and walk the catwalk and live the life of a high paid, beautiful supermodel?
I'm not, but
we may have listeners like that,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
Sure.
Elle McPherson has a career advice for you. That's you. She said, go to college.
What?
She says, go to college.
Why is she lying?
She says there are a lot of pretty girls out there, but the ones that really make it as supermodels have curiosity, natural instinct, and a willingness to learn. That's true. Those supermodels are a bright
they
bunch.
They really are.
The big ones?
Most of them come from MIT.
Yes, they are. Super smart. Elle also says it's important to be flexible. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. Yeah. Wear your ankles for earrings.
I don't think that's
that's all right. Right. I got a little carried away.
I appreciate her pointing out that curiosity is a fantastic trait, not just in women, but in anyone. That's a trait that I definitely look for in people.
What the hell just happened?
Is that a real sentence?
Yes, I'm saying that it may not come to mind immediately the top five things you look for a person. But I think it makes for a far more interesting person if they are curious about the world around them.
And will listen to all the crap that you spew out every single day.
You stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard!
Hey, Jack Handy, save your deep thoughts for your blog, will you?
We're trying to entertain people here.
Bean
just wants somebody that doesn't reject him immediately when he starts talking.
I'm just saying it's an attractive quality. That's my only point.
Nobody's curious enough to have to listen to what you have to say.
Wow, are you stupid?
Stephen Hawking couldn't give a rat's ass about what comes out of your mouth.
I just think it's good that people like to be curious.
I'm glad she brought up curiosity.
You know, it may have killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back.
I know we hate to go deeper than skin deep on this program, but occasionally I think it's worth discussing more serious.
Well, thank God we finally got pulled to go back deeper. The curtain on the curiosity factor. Thanks. That's where we're starting to really open up.
That's why Bean is so important to this program, because he helps us delve into those deep issues curiosity.
Exactly.
Thank you. I'm getting a little teary-eyed. The idea of just broaching the curiosity topic really is it's a little hard for me.
It has been the Holy Grail.
It is.
We're afraid of it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Patrick Stewart is 70 years old today. Harrison Ford turns 68. Cheech Marin of the legendary comedy duo Cheech and Chong is 64.
He's Hurley's dad, isn't he?
Nope.
He is. Wasn't he?
He played him on
Law. He was Hurley's dad. Yeah.
He was also Don Johnson's partner.
Yeah.
On Nash Bridges.
Nash Bridges, that's right.
I was curious about that. Thank you, Ralph.
I was curious, too. But at least after that show was over, he got a cherry coke. That's all we really care about.
That's true.
Cameron Crowe's 53. DJ Fatboy Slim celebrates his 47th birthday, Funk Soul Brother. And drummer Will Champion.
Yeah.
The band Coldplay celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. DJ 90210 is who we want to introduce you to coming up in just a few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. It's our own Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California, with a career change. This Mel Gibson tape situation is fascinating to me on so many levels, not the least of which is we don't know where the tapes came from. Oksana, Mel Gibson's ex-girlfriend, says she did not release them. Where did they come from? Mel's people are claiming that Oksana tried to blackmail Mel with these tapes, try to extort him. And that's one of the things that they're going to the sheriff about. Meanwhile, the sheriff wants the tapes because the sheriff says, hey, I want to look into domestic violence allegations.
Of which there are plenty.
This tape is just a firestorm. And if you heard the stuff that we were playing yesterday, that was the Disney version of the Mel Gibson tapes compared to the stuff that came out late yesterday and then again early this morning.
Yeah, we have a few highlights. This is him threatening to go over to the house.
Don't hang up on me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me? And I will.
So that's not good. And then he tells her what her role should be.
You should just smile and me, because I deserve it.
That seems rough, right?
I deserve it!
Now, I have to ask, Lisa, you're the romantic in the room. If these two are able to work out their differences and end up getting married, don't you think Mel should incorporate that into their wedding vows?
Well, she must love that if that's what happens.
So then he's talking about a spiritual connection and how he didn't have one with his ex-wife.
You and I have none. Zero. You won't even try.
And there's all this heavy breathing. I don't know what this is. That's the rantings of a crazy man. Is it Mel Gibson? I don't know. Allegedly it is. You make up your own mind. We can't say it is definitely, but...
He sounds like a man with a giant ego who was a little bit rejected, maybe just because she was tired with the baby, and has lost his mind.
Yeah.
So you know what I was thinking? It, when you watch the Tudors. When you watch the Tudors,
mm-hmm.
it's how royalty acts.
Yes,
because they're so used to their opinion is the only one that matters, and they don't have to care about anybody else or anybody's feelings. It's just do it my way or you're dead. That's what Mel Gibson
gives you. Yeah.
So she says she doesn't have anything to apologize for.
I did not do anything and apologize for nothing.
What? Stop. Stop.
You need medication.
What?
He needs a hearing aid. That's what he needs. What's going on? Honestly.
That sounds like a line reading.
What? It does. And in Mel's mind, the fact that she's not apologizing, meaning she's not subservient to him, and the fact that she's suggesting that he needs some help in any way, pharmaceutical or otherwise, just blows his mind.
Here's one of the first serious threats. Yeah, a bat to the side of the head is not necessarily.
People who need medication do not take that suggestion well, generally.
No, they don't, no. And then she's talking about how she's going to go to her friend's house.
I can't listen to this anymore.
You hang up. I'm coming over there.
Yeah, that's not good, right? You don't want that.
No. You don't want that. You don't want that because the next thing you...
You don't have any friends except me. And you treat me like... So that's why I'm so angry. Because I...
Yeah, I'm guessing
it's really sad.
I'm guessing it's not her fault that he doesn't have any friends. That's just my guess. Yeah.
No, he's earned that. And the problem with Mel coming over is the next thing you know, you end up with another baby in you. And you don't want that. That just makes things worse.
So then they start arguing about you almost killed the baby. You hit me when I had a baby, and that's ugly. And then he says this.
I'm threatening you. I'll put you in a rose garden, you. You understand that? Because I'm capable of it.
I'll put you in a rose garden. Doesn't sound...
Does that mean under the ground?
I believe...
Is that how we're reading
that's
that?
That's how I would guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, hold on. I think you're being down on Mel here. He means he's going to move a lawn chair out there, pour her some lemonade, and she can sit there and enjoy the flowers.
Oh,
now
okay.
He's talking about the woman who cleans the house that she's staying in. This is new tape. More new tape.
This is brand new. We haven't heard
yet about her and her cleaning
house. At your house, I have warned you, she will be fired if she goes to your house. You find that and you find some other money that's not mine, okay? I'll report her to the people that take money from the wetbacks, okay?
He's talking about the wetbacks is the word he uses, by the way. Yeah. So there's more every...
I give you everything. Don't you dare complain to me. You don't count. You're a using whore.
I think we get the idea.
You don't count.
You don't count. You're a whore. It's everything's your fault. You don't have any friends except me. It's classic,
ugly.
Just abuse.
Yeah.
And I know that this doesn't need to be said, but no woman should ever, ever put up with that. Ever. Ever.
My God.
But we do have a remix. Should we play that? Do we have
yes.
Yes.
We have the remix. This is Mel Gibson and Christian Bale.
That's what I'm talking
Poor
about.
Christian Bale. This is getting... This is resurfacing because of Mel.
He deserved it.
Look, G, you have something to say to this. Stay on this phone and don't hang up on me. I can. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me? And I will.
Oh, good for you.
So just listen to me.
No.
You make me want to smoke.
Shut the up.
No. You.
I want to kick your ass.
You won't even. Get the away from me.
What the are you doing?
You should just smile and me.
Do I want? No. Da-da-da-da like this in the background. What the is it with you?
You make my life so difficult.
You're unbelievable.
What?
What don't you understand? I'm serious.
You have no soul. How about that?
Jake, man, you're amateur.
You.
Seriously, man, you and me, we're done professionally.
And you're a dishonest.
Are you professional or not?
No! I need a woman! Because I deserve it!
Give me a answer! I'm gonna go. Do you want me to go trash your lights? Do you want me to trash them?
Absolutely, unequivocally.
Think for one second.
You need a brain transplant.
Then why are you trashing my scene?
Because you hurt me so bad. I will make your goddamn life miserable. Now, you have one more chance.
I'm gonna kick your ass.
Get a restraining order.
You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy. But I don't cut it when you bullshit around like this.
You don't have any friends except me. And you treat me like
I want you off the set, you.
Don't you dare hang up on me.
Stay off the set, man.
You hang up, I'm coming over there.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the movie they need to make. Put those two in a film.
Yes.
Two things. One, Mel Gibson needs to be committed to an insane asylum. And two, he could jog. He seems very out of shape. He's very worn out by his young.
106.7 K-Rock is KRQ, and it is 9:45.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Craig writes in, I will pay any amount of money for Acoustic Christmas this year if you can get Travis Barker and DJ Dewan A. Johnson from Los Angeles, California. Hell yeah. You say
90210.
There you go. That's from Craig. So we'll start working on that now. DJ Dewan maybe, or DJ 90210 may be booked up by now for December. Who knows?
Sure.
We'll see. All right. End of the program here. But before we do go, Ralph Garman is joining us for the Showbiz Beat.
Before we go, here's Ralph.
Before we do go, here's Ralph.
I don't like being saying goo and then going to me. I don't like that. I need an intermezzo. I need a palate cleaner in between those two seconds.
Ah, that's nasty.
It's an interesting story coming out of TMZ. They have spoken with Oksana Grigoreva's dentist.
What?
Wait, now.
Well, this is important.
Is this the Mel Gibson chick?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Mel's girlfriend, who was the dentist that she went to after Mel allegedly knocked out her teeth.
Oh,
my God.
So he could speak to whether that's true or not.
Yes. Dr. Sheldon took photos of Oksana's mouth the day after the January 6th blowout, this battle which supposedly took place where Mel struck her. And he took those photos and turned them over to her lawyers because they asked for them, as you can imagine. He said it is a clear case where Oksana lost a tooth and another one was chipped.
Wow.
Now, he said, I don't know how that happened, but she certainly didn't lose her veneers, as Gibson's representatives are claiming. This was obviously some sort of blunt force trauma to the mouth, so.
I wonder what that could have been.
At least me.
Can't either.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Gene Simmons is here. Hey, Gene Simmons.
How are you, Ralph?
I'm good. How are you?
How have you been?
Good.
Speaking of blunt force trauma to the mouth.
Thank you.
Sounds great.
Hey, it sounds great.
It sounds great.
Finally.
You're starting to wear her down, Gene.
I'm just exhausted.
After all this time.
Finally.
No, for so long.
Whatever.
Leighton Meester of Gossip Girl's in the news.
Oh, my God.
She's got it all, let's face it. Talent,
yes.
Brains, looks.
Those.
But now she's got something else.
She curious?
She's curious.
I find that to be a virtue. I look for that in people.
Glad that's becoming a...
I'm glad someone's finally talking about the taboo subject of curiosity. Publicly.
Leighton's got lightning-fast reflexes, she claims, and is really, really good at texting. She says she believes she might be one of the fastest texters in the world.
Oh, I doubt it.
Oh, I love her all.
She says she even practices during her downtime on the set of Gossip Girl. Try to get her speed up. Try to get her speed up while she's texting.
Wonder if there's some kind of competition. I'll bet there is.
I believe there is.
I've seen video of the Guinness Book of World Records guy who owns the current texting record. He's amazing.
Damn it, man. Is there anything you don't know?
There you go. Bean has seen it.
I was curious, so I looked it up.
In what world are you alive?
Anyway, Leighton Meester, she will be sending you a text soon, I'm sure. Beyoncé is not above the law, even though she's a superstar. Star Magazine says that she got a $100 ticket last week in New York City for texting while driving. Oh, she and Leighton Meester should get together.
Leighton could do it like that. She wouldn't get caught.
Aren't you guys shocked to find, and maybe I'm just stupid, that Beyoncé drives her own car? Doesn't it seem like she's rich enough and famous enough that she would have somebody drive around all the time?
You'd think.
Yeah, I would think.
You'd think especially in New York,
you would
have a driver.
All of these stars that get pulled over for drunk driving or whatever would have drivers, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand it either.
You know, I've often said that I feel bad for Gabourey Sidibe, who, of course, played Precious in the smash hit Precious, based on the book
Precious
by Shonuff.
Sapphire.
I think
Sapphire.
Push by Sapphire.
Yeah,
that's
push,
it.
Yeah. Because I said she may be an Oscar winner, but where's she going to get her next role, really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of limited for a woman with her particular talents to move on. Well, dip me in poop and call me stinky, because I may be wrong. Entertainment Weekly says that there is a film in the works based on the unauthorized biography of Oprah Winfrey. There you go. Now Precious got a new gig, right? Precious is Oprah in Oprah, starring Precious, based on Push, a novel by Sapphire.
I'm so fat.
I think it would be great. The movie is on track to come out about the same time that Oprah signs off of her daily TV show, which is 2012.
I've gained weight.
So, there you go. Here's your casting mate.
Everything I eat is going to make me fat anyway, and so I might as well just eat whatever I want.
I would rather see the Oprah movie starring Precious than I would this film just announced. Production of a remake of a French film, which is called LOL, Laughing Out Loud.
Mm-hmm.
They are remaking it in an American version of it, starring Demi Moore as Miley Cyrus's mom, with Marlo Thomas as Demi's mother, about a story of a 15-year-old who gets dumped by her boyfriend while her divorcing mom is also having man problems.
Okay, I didn't understand any of that. Not a bit.
Demi Moore is playing Miley Cyrus's mother, and right, Marlo Thomas, an actress who I last saw on television in the 60s, will be playing her grandmother.
Okay.
So there you go. That's the feature film you're going to be seeing soon.
Know it. No.
Yes.
All right.
Is Miley Cyrus, does she have any kind of acting ability as clearly as you can tell, Ralph?
No.
And I'm not judged on her TV show.
Not judged on her film work either.
I haven't seen any of the films.
I saw pieces of that god-awful thing she did. What was the Nicholas Sparks book? The Last Song.
She can work a pole. I know that.
I know that.
Give a lap dance.
Yeah. So that's casting news I'm not happy about. However, I'm thrilled about the casting for this new movie, Moneyball. Have you heard about this film, Moneyball?
Yeah.
It's based on the real-life story of the Oakland A's general manager, Billy Beane. And Brad Pitt is playing Billy.
Mm-hmm.
His wife had just been cast. Cold Case star Catherine Morris will be playing his wife. And the rest of the cast is Robin Wright, Jonah Hill, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. Wow. Come on.
That's okay.
That's a number right there.
That's the weirdest idea for a movie. I understand why it's an interesting book, but I don't know how they make a movie about a guy who says, hey, I figured out new statistics to look at to draft baseball players.
That's what they said about the Bible, my friend. I can see why it's a good
book.
First of all, no one said that.
I can see why it's an interesting book, but I can't imagine they could ever make a movie out of it. And then you know what? Ten Commandments, bitches. How do you like me now?
Well, I didn't realize you had the Bible to go to.
Cecil B. DeMille says, suck it. He did. He said it once.
Did he say that?
Yeah. How'd he say it?
He threw a megaphone on the set.
Quiet on the set. Suck it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Patrick Stewart is 70 years old today. Harrison Ford celebrates a vital 68 years.
Newlywed Harrison Ford? I wonder how
vigorous 68. Cheech Marin, legendary Cheech and Chong comedy team, is 64. Cameron Crowe, director and writer, is 53. Fatboy Slim celebrates his 47th birthday. Very talented actor named Michael Jace, who was on The Shield. He is 45 years old. And Will Champion! Not a superhero, but just the drummer of Coldplay. He is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new program. We are going to talk to massage therapists. And what they must deal with on a daily basis with guys trying to get a little extra.
Oh, that will be interesting.
As one is claiming Al Gore did. Apparently Al Gore was trying to work that out. former Licker Rick Fox will be on the program tomorrow. Ryan Seacrest is a big fat liar tomorrow. And Spencer Pratt is homeless.
Please, God, let that be true. Spent all the money on Heidi's album and Crystals and has nothing left to pay the mortgage.
Get back to me when he's pulseless. I don't want to hear about homeless.
Well, that's step one.
All right.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away, though. Kat Corbett is coming up next.
I see a woman.
Well, we're going to take care of that for you. She'll have 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music including. Somebody turn that mic off, please. Cage the Elephant will be part of that. Also, the offspring SCP Kings of Leon Amberlin and more. Straight ahead, right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.